It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on a brand new broadcast week here at the Horn. We are just a few days away from the end of summer 2023, the beginning of the great coldening. It's Maureen Monday on the Horn. Hi, I'm Robin. It is, in fact, the 18th day of September 2023. Like I said, Maureen Monday. And, Morty, do we... In the morning, in the evening, ain't we got Maureens? Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. No, not at all. But if you would like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia Extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room in the 3 hours in which this program is live... Well, bebop on over to headon.live, where you will be greeted by the early arrivers to the chat room and welcomed enthusiastically, I might add. If you pop in right now, picking out a screen name and a password, when Theo and Squeaky and Anatole see you, they'll say, hey, and hopefully you'll say, hey, and a good time will be had by all. And, of course, you will be moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hey, y'all. And if you're listening to the podcast, pretty please, do us all a favor. Help us grow the program. Doesn't cost anything. Everything here is free. Just like wherever you're listening to the podcast. Like it, subscribe to it, do it over and over and over again, till the algorithms are absolutely beside themselves with joy. Leave a comment, tell your friends and neighbors, and we can we'll grow this a little bit. It would be wonderful. So that being said, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say thank you. We say thank you to our subscribers via PayPal for the 18th, 17th, and 16th days of the month. And that means we say thank you, working backwards from today towards Saturday. We say thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor and to Grace. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Laborman in New Mexico. Gary, thank you. Thanks so much to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thanks to Zed in Iowa. Thank you to Mark. And thank you. Let's keep all this. Yeah, there we go. And thank you to Theo Thank you so very much. Thank you, Robert. And Mark, again. So, where does that leave us? Well, the fundraising goal is at $1,500. That means we are unfunded here at this little independent, liberal, progressive experiment in broadcasting. Unfunded for today, Thursday. Remember, Gino in Utah brought us Friday on the front porch with his kind have a show on me on Thursday. So, today, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and last Monday. And hopefully we can knock some of that down and keep all the bill paying going and keep this little effort on the air. Me, I'm just back from, not just back, I made the run down to just south of Bristol, Tennessee, and then dropped off. Well, we took things like, well, we took some more furniture down. It was just me. Annette packed up the car, and I ran everything down to Ferg and my daughter-in-law and my precious little granddaughters, and I got to play with them and little Junebug. Well, Junebug is just, there's no more of this experimenting with this walking upright hominid business. There's no need to hang on to the rail anymore. She's gotten rid of the training wheels, and she's just dashing back and forth. And oh, it just tickled me to pieces. And so I picked her up and held her, and she reached down and immediately, doing what babies do, saw the shiny thing and went for my little butterfly necklace. And no. Lead us not into temptation, and drop that down inside my shirt and let her grab my bracelet instead. Now it was, and then, like I said, turned around and just came back home. So, like I said, we are unfunded by a week, and not letting that thing get up around 2,000, whatever, is a big deal. So if we could knock down a day's broadcasting, it'd be fantastic. And that way we'd still only be down a week when we get to tomorrow. We'll see how it plays out. Spider. Not good. Randy Radar, I don't know exactly. You need higher tiers on Patreon. I haven't looked lately, but I think you can put in whatever amount you want. You don't have to I probably need to go back and just redo the Patreon page. And I also need to change the photo there. I was looking around trying to do that. That was weird. I need to spend some time there just tidying that up. But, yeah. Have a show on me for anyone that wants to. That's $300. And then, whatever. I got poured on the way down the road yesterday. That's one of the neat things about being in Appalachia. It's no fun to drive in it, but sometimes, you know, when at these elevations, sometimes the cloud comes to you. You wind up in the cloud. But it is, as I said, more and Monday on the horn. And there are so many possible options for morality. I guess we would be horribly remiss if we didn't start with, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. But before we do that, how about House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries? Okay, Randy Radar says you can no longer put in a custom amount on Patreon. All right, that makes sense then. So I will get in there and try to do something about that. I Hakeem Jeffries pointed out on ABC over the yesterday, Sunday. That the MAGA party, especially in the House of Representatives, are in what he called the middle of a civil war. And they appear to be. They're not exactly crazy about each other. That razor-slim... That razor-slim Republican majority... Well, it doesn't like each other very much, does it? No. They're not at all. And so Kevin, man with the spine of silly putty McCarthy, says he's got a plan to prevent a government shutdown. This is not a serious plan. This is just an attempt to hurt America, because that's what they specialize in. He's going to have the support of Democratic members of Congress in order to pass any sort of a bill to keep a shutdown from happening. And come on, you let's you and him fight the maggots and. I mean, Kevers is a maggot, too. Never mind the fact that on January 6th, he called Nitwit Neera and said, call them off, these are your fucking people, because he did that. But then he turned around and went and puckered up and kissed Nitwit Neera's... Well, I'll try not to be too pornographic on this program. But, yeah. I try not to be too pornographic on this program, and then there's Lauren Boebert going to see a family-friendly musical, and, yeah. Yeah, Lore having previously posted a shit over on Shitter, saying, take your children to church, not a drag show. Well, dog walked. Yeah. Give your boyfriend a hand job at home, not in the theater. You know, she's apparently... Well, let's just say she's reinforcing the rumors that long before she was ever a member of the House of Representatives, that... Well, Clanny Oakley was a sex worker. Nothing wrong with being a sex worker, unless one then turns around and acts all hypocritical about it. Yeah. The stopgap bill currently under consideration in the House would... Yay, keep government running through October 31st. The Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs continue to operate at current levels, but discretionary spending gets cut by 8%. In other words, poor people and hungry people, hungry kids, things like that, they will bear the brunt of the Republicans' brutal capitalism. Yeah, they want to cut these Republicans. The problem is, sooner or later, you run out of things to cut. So then you just go back and cut what you've always cut, already cut more. There are at least 7 maggots who either have said outright they won't support the legislation or they've raised issues with it. Oh, Flavio, okay, there's our first cowbell this morning, Monday. Lauren Boebert sure knows how to reach across the aisle, huh? Flavio will be here all week. Don't try the veal. Don't forget to tip your hostess. I mean, that's one that just wrote itself. Dave and the Blind, is she mechanical in nature or is she just self-escorting? Lauren can get thrown out of a theater. How about we get her to throw herself out of Congress? I'm sure she's wrestling with the problem, and if she needs any help in that department, I'm sure Marginal Trailer Queen can help as well. Yeah, those two are the members of the Mean Girls Caucus. It's just, well, by the way, I had a note from Matt in San Francisco earlier. Hey, Matt. Matt was up and watching our Filthy Morning Habit. Matt sent me a note. Lord, Matt, you were up early, 5:28 a.m. Fundraising idea after hearing Morning Joe talk about Trump's dad at a Klan rally. I think we need to find the mole on Joe's staff and ask for at least 10% of their salary. How about 10% of Joe's, Matt? I'm sure the staff are not that well paid. But sometimes I'm absolutely certain that there is. Hi, whomever you are. I mean, I know some folks at MSNBC. They may have gone to work for Morning Joe. But then again, we've known these things for years, and for some people it's a... Wait, his daddy was in the Klan? Yes! Yes. The word is soak. S-O-A-K. K. S-O-A-K. You know, like, you soak your delicates in the sink with some woolite. Soak. S-O-A-K. Son of a Klansman. Let's see if that pops up. He's already used Jacket Off Jordan. But it's a lovely idea. And we are now finding out that, yes, apparently, when they would bring Nitwit Nero classified documents in the Oval Office, Nitwit Nero would write to-do lists on them. Just let that sink in. And I'm sure with his characteristic Sharpie, No. According to one of his longtime assistants, interviewed by federal investigators, Nitwit Nero would write to-do lists for the assistant on documents marked classified. The aide's name is Molly Michael, and interviewed by investigators, she told them that on more than one occasion, she got to-do lists written on the back of note cards, and the note cards themselves were in fact classified White House documents. And they had visible classification markings on them. They were briefing notes about phone calls with foreign dignitaries, international relations, foreign policy, and yeah, they were part of the cache of materials that he stole and took with him down to Mar-a-Lago, and that were recovered when the FBI executed a search warrant. But in fact, when Molly Michael came back to Mog-a-Lardass after the search, she went looking around under a drawer organizer and found more of them, and said, and called the FBI and said, "Hey, y'all might want these." She went on to tell federal investigators that she had gotten really worried about his retention of the stolen documents. And she went on to say that Nitwit Nero's claims about his right to have them would be pretty easy to take apart by the federal government. Other sources told media that, well, when Nitwit Nero got wind of Molly Michael being sought for questioning, that he looked at her and said,
"Listen, you don't know anything about the boxes."
Oh, but she did. She did. Molly Michael is thought to be, per ABC News, the person known as Trump Employee 2, somebody who handled a bunch of the White House era boxes at Mog-a-Lardass and gave Trump pictures of the boxes that were in the indictment. Well, a Trump spokes creep called them
illegal leaks and whatever it is, lacks proper context and relevant information. President Trump did nothing wrong, has always insisted on truth and transparency, and acted in a proper manner according to the law. And it's a law that he passed with the powers of his own very large brain.
Molly Michael's been with Nitwit Nero since 2018, and she, some people don't have the best judgment. She kept working for him when he exited the Oval Office, but last year, realizing that doing federal time was probably not the best career move for her, she quit. And now, to use the term, she is now flipping. Flip, flip, flip. On Nitwit Nero. She actually got worried when Nitwit Nero began encouraging her to say that that there were no more boxes, even though there were still a bunch more boxes. And she said, "You can't do that because even the maintenance guys have seen the fact that there are a lot more than 15 boxes." And, of course, as to things like obstruction of justice, yeah, Nitwit Nero at the time looked at one of his pettifoggers and said,
"Wouldn't it be better if we just told him we don't have anything here?"
And she said, y'all will be able to prove that he is lying, because I know for a fact he saw a photograph of the storage room with 90 or so boxes in it. 90, not 15, 90. If he wiggles out of this one, it will only be through the connivance of Aileen Cannon. Oh, and let's see here. It is Moran Monday, and I've got some. We've got some top shelf Morans. Going back to Lauren Bobblehead Boobert for just a minute. Colorado has an actual, no kidding, real live law about lewd behavior. And it published at Newsweek. They say that she may have actually violated the public lewdness law in Colorado. That can even, in the worst of situations, and I don't know, helping your new boyfriend rub one out in the theater. Well, I don't know where that falls on the scale, but it can get you up to 6 months in the county. It's Colorado Code 187301. Public indecency is a petty offense, sex crime. Ooh, would she have to register as a sex offender? That has lighter penalties, like 10 days in jail and $300 in fines, possible probation, community service, mandatory counseling. In most cases, such crimes don't lead to individuals being classified as sex offenders. Yeah, but there's... What she did in the theater qualify... I know, this is tacky. I know, this is vapid and vacuous and beneath the dignity of civil conversation. The law also differs for indecent exposure, which involves an individual knowingly exposing their genitals to satisfy sexual desires. That is what her ex-husband did at the bowling alley, y'all. Her new boyfriend kept it in his jeans. And by the way, the new boyfriend is a progressive dude. No, really. A Denver-based criminal defense lawyer. The Newsweek interviewed a guy. Did they do this on purpose? A lawyer named Matthew Hand, who said, well, the law is overbroad and it's vague and overreaching. Although theater is a crowded public setting where a lewd fondling could be prosecuted as public indecency, it's unlikely that brief groping over the clothes while seated in a dark theater would lead to conviction. The acts need to have been reasonably expected to be viewed by others, and a jury must be convinced of that beyond a reasonable doubt, said Matthew Hand. Check some reviews out. Matthew Hand apparently does a great job. So ashamed. Sorry. Yeah, and over the weekend, Lauren, having been caught, having first tried to say that she wasn't ejected from the theater, that it never happened, and that just a mean girl was mean-girling her because she's Lauren Bobert. I wonder if they played it this way, the media. Because then the video came out. Rub-a-dub-dub. Well, when she got busted and the video became available, she said, whether it was the excitement of seeing a much-anticipated production or the natural anxiety of being in a new environment. Huh? What, Edith? Huh? I genuinely did not recall vaping that evening. Well, pot hurts, honey. It makes you forget things. When I discussed the night's events with my campaign team while confirming my enthusiasm for the musical. It's clear now that that was not accurate. She sang, she chair sang, she chair danced. She flipped off the usher. Jesus Christ. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco. Lawrence Fondalee, apparently he owns a bar that has drag shows. I just can't with these people. Oh, Matt, you know Lauren loves her some drag. Everything with a maggot is either projection or confession. In this case, it's apparently both. And Steve in New York pointing out, though, that you have to register as a sex offender. Apparently, according to Lawyer Hand... Aloha, Mr. Hand. According to Lawyer Hand, she probably wouldn't have to. Billable Rick says, Bobblehead and Matthew Hand, based on his name alone, the goddess of irony obviously has a firm grasp, but I mean firm and grasp of Lawyer Hand. Lawyer Hand. She draws that lawyer like a gun. Now, this isn't her lawyer. This is just some lawyer in Denver that some producer or pixel-stained wretch couldn't resist calling for a comment. Are you calling me because this is a story about Lauren Jack and her dude and my last name's Hand? Well, yeah. Okay, I understand. Here, let me explain. Oh! The fun word alert. Steve in New York says, Lauren, if she had an angstrom of shame, she'd resign. I'm sure there are literally tens of thousands of political broadcasts on both sides of the political spectrum all over the country today. Only here at the Horn will you hear the word and the phrase an angstrom of shame. And Steve in New York just did that. You know, it's a good thing more people don't know about this program. Because then we'd probably just be overwhelmed. The servers probably couldn't take it. The past few days, Clanny Oakley said, have been difficult and humbling. And I'm truly sorry for the unwanted attention my Sunday evening in Denver has brought to the community. While none of my actions or words as a private citizen that night were intended to be malicious or meant to cause harm, the reality is they did, and I regret that. Part of it is because I'm going through a public and difficult divorce that requires me to masturbate my new boyfriend. No, I added the last part. We know we will have to work to earn your trust back, and it may not happen overnight, but we will do it. You know, Lauren, say it may not happen in a day. Don't say overnight, because we all know that's how you used to bill. And her advisors, who would like to keep their jobs, are begging her to quit being such a... It was such a Heather. As Ralph's points out, at first, Lore said she was only vaping. She said nothing about the genital fondling. Well, she was kind of hoping nobody would, you know, notice that. But then they did. And so it appears or so say some of the folks in the know, that she's right worried? About whether or not she's going to get reelected. Apparently, her numbers may be a little bit sketchy. And I guess now she's got a chance of being one of the ones who puts the Democrats back in control of the House if she loses her seat. Some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalists have dropped Lauren. Well, after they were shocked to find out she gives hand jobs in darkened theaters. Meanwhile, the boyfriend, he's progressive, he's liberal, you know, his bar hosts drag shows and the like, and being progressive, he's probably not particularly, I mean, hell, he's famous now. Then again, do you want to be famous for being Lauren Boebert's new squeeze? I mean, last time I was in D.C., I saw her. She's a hobbit. She's tiny. I was walking across the Capitol Plaza. She was walking away from the house. I was about 20 feet away. I went, Lore, hey! And she stuck her hand up and looked at me and waved and said, hey! She was wearing a red dress that day. She was on the lineup of the Texas Youth Summit, a convention of young people who haven't figured out that they're being lied to by the religion industry yet. And the Texas Youth Summit is not for just any youth. It's for right wing kids. At the time they added her to the lineup, the organizers of the Texas Youth Summit, all of whom are of course the best of Christians, said Lauren Boebert is a devout Christian who seeks to honor God in all that she does, including hand jobs. Oh, no, I added including hand jobs. But then the video came out and, well, the folks at the Texas Youth Summit saw it and saw not only her reaching across and rubbing away on the crotch of her boyfriend through his jeans, but also shows him reaching over and apparently trying to tune in Radio Free Europe through her breastises. And by the way, there were children present because it's a family friendly musical. I don't know, dude. If I, you know, you might want to ghost her. Because it could be bad for your business. But then again, I don't know. Flavio says, I agree with Trey Crowder on Lauren Boebert. If she were out there fighting for the little guy and had learned lessons from her hard knocks, had not been so holier than thou and not turned out to be such a ladder puller-upper, you could almost forgive her, you know, like Alabama Whitney or Worley or... Yeah. The conduct... Look, what two consenting adults do is their business. And what happens behind closed doors? I think there's a Charlie Rich song by the same name. Is entirely their business and their business alone. It's when you turn it into performance art that it becomes a problem. But wondering, says Frank, what about Lauren's children? Is she a fit mother? Well, she's apparently a mother who throws fits. I saw a great line. Saturday night was fun because my beloved West Virginia Mountaineers defeated the hated Pitt Panthers at home. They had to listen to 70,000 people screaming the lyrics to Country Roads at the top of their lungs at the end of the game. Pitt's quarterback was not terribly impressive. I saw one remark that said, after the game, he went into the locker room and Jerkovec threw a fit, and it was intercepted. I thought that was high quality. So she won't be speaking to the Texas Youth Summit, because those kids probably already know anything that she might have to teach. On the morning show, a member of the Democratic caucus in the House, speaking with Catty Kay, well, he put things in perspective relative to Marginal Trailer Queen, Lore. Yeah. Representative Crow. Got it right.
About $6 billion in frozen funds. For more now on this and much more, joining us now, Democratic member of the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Jason Crow of Colorado. He's a U.S. Army veteran who served our country in both Iraq and Afghanistan. So from your many perspective, including the committees that you sit on, what do you make of this prisoner swap from what we know so far?
Well, good morning. This prisoner swap is actually a good deal for the United States. Number one, we don't leave our people behind. We just don't. Every administration has done swaps like this to make sure we're getting U.S. citizens out of Iran. Iran does this. They take hostages and they try to gain leverage. So, you know, every American should know, don't travel to Iran because you are at risk of being taken hostage. But there's also, we have to correct a misunderstanding here. These funds were not frozen funds. The United States is not making this money available. This money came from a fund that the prior administration, that the Trump administration negotiated with several countries that allowed them to purchase Iranian oil in exchange for medical supplies and food and medicine. South Korea, in this instance, did that. They purchased some oil, and that money was allocated to food, medicine, and medical supplies. This money could be spent or could be sent to Iran today. The South Koreans could do that. We were able to negotiate additional restrictions on top of the restrictions already in place for this money, additional restrictions and oversight through the Treasury Department to make sure this money is only being spent for those purposes. So this deal actually created additional oversight on that money, not less.
So, Congressman, let's turn to the House of Representatives right now, which is expecting to have a pretty tumultuous couple of weeks ahead. There's only a few days left before the government funding runs out. There was Republicans did pass a continuing resolution last night on their side of it, but there's no Ukraine relief, there's no disaster relief. It certainly doesn't seem like even if it gets to the House, it could have any shot to get through the Senate. So talk to us about where things stand, about the prospect of a government shutdown and how that's linked also to this impeachment inquiry.
Well, the prospects are high. You know, I think there's better than a 50% chance that there is a government shutdown, because this is the world that Kevin McCarthy has created for himself. He's bargained away all of his power. He's given the ability for the so-called House Freedom Caucus, which is the caucus of the far right extreme of the Republican Conference, conference. Any one of those members can call what's called a motion to vacate, to remove the speaker from the speaker's chair. And now he's trying to placate them. He's trying to come up with some type of deal, but you cannot deal with people whose goal it is to destroy, to tear down, and to have a shutdown. That is actually their stated goal. So I don't know how he gets out of this.
Congressman, if they do go forward and say they want to recall him as the speaker or remove him as speaker, is it a possibility that we would see him do what was done, get Democratic votes to keep him in as speaker? And then what would the cost be on the Democratic side for Hakeem Jeffries and the leadership to say, we'll give you some votes, but we want this in terms of what we agreed to in terms of releasing the budget?
Well, it really would be something, Reverend, if he would have to come to the Democrats once again to govern, right? I mean, Democrats govern. We lead. We actually do the work of bringing, you know, good things to the American people. And McCarthy has created a situation where he might need Democratic votes to actually govern and get anything done. As far as I know, he hasn't come to Democrats to do that yet. You know, he should actually come to us with a good faith agreement, a good faith offer to fund the government. And that would include disaster relief for states, including red states, by the way. You know, we don't care whether it's a red state or a blue state. We actually want to give relief to people and we want to govern. That is our policy. That is the right thing to do. And there are several states in the South in particular that need this aid desperately. So disaster relief, Ukraine aid, and making sure that we don't shut down, because shutdown would actually cost the American people tens of billions of dollars. And it's just untenable.
Congressman, can I just get your take quickly before you go on something we've been talking about on and off all morning, and that is the question of age. We've seen the tape of Donald Trump seeming to think that he was running against Barack Obama, thinking we're about to go into World War II. We've seen all of the polling showing that Americans are concerned about Joe Biden's age as well. When it comes to President Biden, and thinking of what David Ignatius, our colleague, wrote last week, suggesting that it wasn't the moment for President Biden to run for a second term, where do you stand on the president's age? And on the age of those senior politicians more generally?
I think it's wrong to look at age. I think we should look at capacity. I think we should look at acuity. I think we should look at leadership. You know, last year was the most legislatively successful year since the 1960s Great Society legislation of Lyndon Johnson. We passed six major pieces of legislation under the leadership of Joe Biden. You know, why don't we talk about the capacity of Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene? I'm far more concerned, frankly, about their mental capacity and whether or not they're on the level than older elected officials. So we should let the voters decide about who's performing and who's not. And certainly President Biden is performing remarkably.
Fair enough. Congressman Jason Crow, thank you very much for being on the show this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Republican Texas attorney.
I mean. He's not wrong. Neither Marge nor Lorelore are particularly old. I mean, Lorelore is going to be a 36-year-old grandma. Because, well, she made her mother a grandma about the same age. And that's one of those Florida man things, Florida woman. Just who she is. And like Trey Crowder said, you know, and he was actually sympathizing to a certain extent. He said, you know, who among us have not screamed incoherently when we were upset about something? He said, God knows I have. Of course, I was 22 years old and the Titans were losing again and I was hammered drunk. Wow, right. David in South Carolina stands says, out of context. Then, the number one GOP defense is that this incident was taken out of context. And, you know, they always say that even when the entire thing is nothing but context. Theo in Oregon says, Lauren Bobblehead goes bobbin. Hey, Robin, you referred to tacky, lewd, and beneath the bounds of civil conversation. Were you describing what the mean girl did or who she is? Not saying, just saying. Just saying. She didn't mean to cause harm? Asks Darlene. But fetus fetishist Lauren Boobies falling all over the place, Boobart, ignored a pregnant woman's pleas to stop vaping at her because the woman is, you know, pregnant. And more groping and lewd acts were committed by Boobart and her loser boyfriend in public with families present than I have ever seen at a drag show, let alone a drag queen story hour. Oh, those are downright wholesome. Was there something Jesus said about casting a stone? Oh, well. She's a Christian, so all she has to do is ask for Jesus' forgiveness, and she's all set for entry through the pearlies, right? I think pearlies takes on a new meaning in this particular context. There's that context problem again. That little narcissistic white trash bitch didn't admit to anything until she was caught on some damn good, clear video. Surprised she didn't scream it was all photoshopped or AI. Oh, she probably did, until they said, don't. There's a chain of custody here. But they went on and had some more fun at Lauren's expense. I do love it when they begin the week by, with Mika and Joe both actually showing up to work. And one got the notion this morning that Mika, who was very prim and proper. Okay, she's not at all trashy like we can be. She's a nice lady. She appeared less than thrilled that they were going to go down this path. Right.
A story that was going around Twitter/X over the weekend. So we have to get to this now. Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado
has
long railed on the House floor that the left is grooming children by exposing them to what she calls obscene content. In reference to things like drag performances for children and the use of LGBTQ inclusive flashcards to teach colors to students. Well, on Friday, Boebert apologized for her own behavior, coming at a recent performance of the family-friendly musical.
Oh my goodness, Jonathan Lemire's, well, that was carrying a lot of freight, wasn't it?
Beetlejuice showing in Denver.
Oh, that's a nice show.
That's a great.
That's very
great
family friendly.
Kids, but
it's
for the kids.
Flash,
it's
a lot of
flash
kids there.
Cards. She's worried about flash.
She's
cards.
Worried about flash
okay.
cards. And let's also, as we're looking here at footage, let's give credit to the quality of the night vision cameras at this theater in Denver, Colorado. Extraordinarily clear. Because the 36-year-old congresswoman first denied reports that she had been vaping during the performance, but you'll see in a moment, she was. According to the Denver Post, a pregnant woman seated behind her asked her to stop.
You're taking flash pictures.
There it is. Before Boebert was ejected for causing a disturbance at the show. But thanks to the high-quality cameras there in that theater.
And speaking of the high-quality video, I'd just like to point out that Lauren, when she's seat dancing, she's kind of, well, she dances a lot like Elaine on Kramer, okay? We know the Elaine dance. Yeah, she does. That could have been easily as or more horrifying than anything else that she did. Sitting there vaping away, blowing vapor out like a, I mean, She looks like an old steam train sitting at the station.
But Burt had to change her tune and apologize after surveillance video revealed that she was indeed vaping, as well as she and her companion explicitly groping each other repeatedly while they were in their seats. The congresswoman, a mother of four and a grandmother, said, quote, I simply fell short of my values on Sunday.
Jonathan, when you said explicitly groping each other, what does that mean?
I mean, don't ask Jonathan to answer that.
I think Michael Burt is not one known for reaching across the aisle in the Congress, but there was some of that here with her male companion.
It's irresistible, isn't it?
Let's say they were handsy in their behavior. So, Caddy Kay, as we marvel again at the flash photos and the vaping and the, you know, other lewd behavior, let's call it groping. Just another example of Republican hypocrisy to you?
I'm just glad that I'm not the one being asked to describe what groping means.
Hardships.
Lauren Boebert be sort of even vaguely apologetic about anything. She just doesn't do it very much. But I guess when you've just won your election by about whatever it was, 5 votes, you need to make sure that you hang on to all of the votes you possibly can, which I suppose is why she's sort of changed her tune. It's kind of a change of character for her to come out in anything other than defiant mode. So I think she realizes that this doesn't go down particularly well with people in her district.
Jonathan, the thing is, she denied even the vaping part.
That's true.
And then the vaping came out. And then what a lot of Republicans are focused on, are focused on the hypocrisy of the groping, where she's concerned about flashcards. And we won't show it here. This is obviously a family show, other than when I accidentally say the F word 12 times.
Check it off, Jordan.
It was really explicit groping, according to a lot of Republicans that were just saying, this is, I don't know if it was Ann, it might have been Ann Coulter who said, this is why everybody calls us such hypocrites. Here's a woman being shocked and stunned and saying she's this Christian nationalist and Jesus should have had AR-15s and he wouldn't have been crucified and these flashcards are going to destroy our women. She's there with a bunch of kids and families and doing all of this stuff. And I guess she's apologized because so many Republicans are attacking her.
Yeah, it's a rare moment. So many Republicans, Donald Trump included, tend to continue to deny things even when presented with video evidence that what happened. I guess give her partial credit for not doing that. She also flipped off a number of the theater staffers when she stormed out of the showing. Mind you, again, family showing, Beetlejuice, Denver. But Lauren Boebert, also, she barely won, as Caddy said, last time around. And the Democrats feel like they've got a pretty good challenger against her this time, too. So her seat's certainly not safe. But she also, this comes at a moment where she's one of the rabble-rousers in the House with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and others trying to push to impeach President Biden and shut down the government. So she has more time, perhaps, to attend family-friendly shows in Denver with a male companion, which she's overly friendly with.
Yeah, well, I think actually the biggest problem her biggest concern right now is Republicans may do what they did with Steve King and I when just go enough and forget about the general election. It may get to a point where Republicans decide they're going to put up somebody strong to run against her in the primary because they don't want, Republicans don't want this.
We'll leave that there. Former president.
Well, sorry.
Yeah. Maybe they'll find somebody to primary her. But you got to understand the voters in her district, the people that sent her to office, they're probably more like Lauren than they're not. All those Republican men in her district who voted for her because they think she's hot, y'all, and they wish she could do that for them. Okay, I mean, we have to remember who the maggots are. And the Republican women who voted for her in her district wish they could get a date as hot as the drag queen bar, the drag show bar owner is. Hell, I'd do that to him, and I'd do that to him in the middle of the mall. I mean, the maggot party is a cruel party. The maggot party is a hypocritical party. The maggot party is a treasonous party. But the maggot party is also a really, really lewd and vulgar party. This is a woman who is a member of a party that also has in it women who have gone to Trump rallies wearing homemade T-shirts that say he can grab me by the pussy anytime with an arrow pointing toward their crotches. See, Lorelor is a feminist, y'all. She was proving that what her orange, demented circus peanut god emperor said was true, not just of Republican men and Republican celebrity men, but also true of celebrity Republican women. When you're famous, you can just grab him by the dick. And he'll like it. Ah, did you make the connection on that? Yeah, this is the... Lauren's a feminist! If she does manage to get ousted from Congress, I mean, she'll have a soft landing. Either with that rattle trap podcast platform that the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells runs, or Newsmuck, or I don't know, White Power Barbie Daily. But once in a while, because it's not going to last with the bar owner, and she's not going to turn into some progressive. She's not going to realize how wrong she was. She's not going to come out and have a mea culpa and say, listen, I was just doing it for power. Leave the trans kids alone. No, at some point, you know, maybe when she's really old, like 40, she's going to look back and it's going to be like something that's going to be like Marlon Brando from On the Waterfront. I could have been a contender. I might have been president. I know, Steve. I was thinking the same thing. I so wish we had Scott still with us to chime in. Well, everybody just channel your inner Scott. And lo, where two or more are gathered in his name, so too there shall be a joy buzzer and a whoopee cushion. A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants. Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, thank goodness the tramp didn't flash. Flashcards. Thank goodness the tramp didn't flash. And then said, Robin, I shouldn't be so mean. Sometimes it's okay, Jimmy. George in Corskill says, wait, did Joe just confuse Stephen King with Angus King? Well, they're both from Maine. They're hard to tell apart even when they're standing next to each other. Donald Trump is thankful, Dave in the Blind says. Focus, people. The Donald is the Donald because he used to call himself the Donald because of Spy Magazine. That's right, Donald Trump's attention addict is thankful that another attention addict is beating off the... Dave! Beating off the competition to rally conservatives, and she can call it attacking liberals. And this is a family-friendly musical. Couldn't they go out to an adult theater like every good, God-fearing American pervert? Your buddy, Dave in the Blind. Yes. Just get her a trench coat. Sit in the bed. But then again, are there any seedy adult theaters left in this world? I honestly don't know. So we are into the second hour of this Moran Monday. It is Moran Rich. We have, and lo, we have many Morans. I got a couple that are just... then again, Morin Monday is routinely from the department of you cannot make this shit up. So, there we are. But somebody's on the stress line. And that means I don't have to fill a Robster for 3 hours. We'll actually have some conversation for a little bit. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Oh my God, Todd, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear you.
It's wonderful to hear from you.
Okay, I'm going to have to try to pep myself up a little bit because there's so much on that phone. You know when you eat Thanksgiving dinner and then the church fan kicks in?
Right.
And just gets to be... This is, I don't even know where to, let me start with Boebert, and I have something positive to say. I'm trying to be positive. I think this happened in like near where she lives in Colorado. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, it happened at the Buell Theater in Denver, and she represents a district that pretty much isn't Denver.
Right. She's probably out there in Golden or, it's real conservative when you get out of Denver, like, the little, Golden, what's the other one? Something City. I'm coming to a blank. And I'm babbling everybody else.
Oh, well, I'm sure that the Horn ad hoc Lauren Boebert's district or search department will get right on that. But, yeah, she's from a typically Republican district.
Yeah, because it changes. I mean, it's like it goes from night to day. You know, they don't want anything to do with Denver proper. But my point is to say something proper, something nice. I'm proud of that, you know, wherever she was, that they enforced, you know, reasonable values about cannabis laws. It's like, you know, we like to drink in public sometimes, but you have to pick and choose what you do and where you do it. And, you know, in the theater, people asked you to stop. She probably would have been okay if she had just stopped. When the lady said, hey, I'm pregnant, you know, can you stop vaping? Because you could probably smell it. It was probably Colorado. It was Denver.
That's the thing I noticed. Everybody says she was vaping. You know what? That wasn't some Views cartridge. She was not vaping tobacco. And from the way she was behaving, she was not vaping some sort of mellow out indica biscuits and gravy kush either.
You made my point. Exactly. And if people don't understand, it's not the gas station stuff.
This was some high quality sativa, okay?
Yep.
This was that shit that feels like speed and you know, this isn't one of those where you start hearing the squirrel on the gerbil on the treadmill at the center of the universe.
No, this is energizing and invigorating. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, she is from, thank you, Ralph, serving as the Horn ad hoc Lauren Boebert's district research department. She is from Garfield County, Colorado, and in particular, a place in Colorado called Rifle.
Okay. I'm not familiar with there at all, but I'm glad. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
Because it's different. You know,
oh, by the way, Ralph's continued her challenge from Friday to today, so that gives us a chance to get down to $14.50 if anybody would like to match $25, because we're a goose egg at this point.
Yeah, that's a bad amount. Just saying. You know, I'm really not going to take time unless, you know, something happens. I'm really not. But there's a couple of things that have been on my mind. Talked about them, or you and the family had talked about them. But you know, what you've been talking about this evening, you know, and the D word.
Say again, you garbled a little bit there. Something and the D word.
I'm sorry. I keep going back to the deplorables term.
Yes, the basket thereof.
And apparently, this individual appeared to be very correct. You know, from top to bottom. And I'm, if this, you know, and to be very low-brow if the shoe fits. We're dealing with brown shirts, rampant racial assassinations. You know, this is not good. Then we had Biden, and I didn't mean to say this, but I'm a little bit pissed off. Like, we got to get a Frank Luntz on our, you know, on our end, because
not a Frank Luntz, but yeah. Well, I mean, we used to have George Lakoff. I don't know what happened.
I mean, of the quality, yeah, the quality.
Yeah, that article last week, that opinion article by who was it? David Ignatius. Not exactly a spring chicken himself.
Well, he's showing who he is.
He's saying that, you know, Biden really is too old and the Democrats need to move on. Jesus.
This is about that black woman being too close to the president. I think that's a large part of this, because look how Biden has, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's what I think. That's part of it. Please go on.
No. I think you're entirely right. By the way, I did look up the third congressional district of Colorado. Most of the rural western slope in the western third of the state, and takes in some of the southern portions of the eastern plains. There are 769,771 people there. It's actually a pretty fair poke on, I presume, I-70 from Denver. No. Like I said, she is from Rifle, Colorado.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this, because the way you described it, it looks like it's kind of carved around the whole urban area of Colorado. It's on the fringes, like at the foothills of the mountains, or right in.
It's kind of like the letter L. It's the western third. L is for Lauren. It's the western third of the state of Colorado, with the bottom of the L stick pointing eastward. And she's from a place that's basically west northwest of Denver, Rifle.
Mm-hmm. It was carved out. That's gerrymandering, because that's not natural. That's surprising. You know, and what you said about her, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So it's cute. You know, this is where we are. This is a wrestling match. Our whole way of life has become a wrestling match. You know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So, honestly, you do a great job every day. But this is, Morning Jehoshaphat has been touching on this lately.
Wait, did you say Morning Jehoshaphat?
Yeah, Morning Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Quality, I'm telling you, quality. What? You know, you don't call in a whole bunch, but when you do, you bring the good stuff.
I love hearing people, man, when they call in. You know, these people don't like, they're not really working. I mean, they have a long day, but then, you know, they can keep complaining. They better stop complaining about their 4 hours, as much money.
Do please stop complaining about those 4 hours, because every hour of the programming is 40 minutes of live content, 20 minutes of commercials, and 1 hour of the four is just a rerun. They start at 6 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 6 to 7 is live. 7 to 8 is live. 8 to 9 is in the can. It's the 6 o'clock hour for the people in the Central and Mountain time zones, and presumably Matt, if he hasn't gotten up early to watch it live. And then there's fresh content from 9 to 10, and that's usually where they put their puff pieces.
Right. Yeah. When you learn the rhythm, it's much better. If you can DVR, you learn the rhythm. You have to get up and get out. You're only going to get so much. And I'm glad you did that, because when I was listening, they hadn't cut into Boebert. But Mika didn't want to talk about it. And I'm surprised that, you know, sometimes she puts her foot down and they're like, I ain't going to mess with her. You know, what a mess.
I got something you may enjoy here.
Uh-oh. What?
Because this morning when he went on air, and, you know, I don't play a lot of clips of Howard Stern, but, well...
Damn, never. When's the last time you played a Howard Stern clip?
I can't remember. But...
Me either.
But here... He unloaded, and he did a pretty passing fair job of it.
Lauren Boebert is a disgrace to this country, not because of the video. You are 100% right. Forget the politics. She's in a titty dress. If you saw the video, she's in a titty dress. She's with some dude. Looks like she's, you know, obviously vaping, but also looks like she might be grabbing his penis during Beetlejuice. And he's playing with her tits.
Is Beetlejuice a sexy play?
It's a very erotic play, evidently. I remember the movie. It was nothing sexy about it.
You didn't grab anybody during the movie.
I guess the play is much hotter. But she was wearing a tight titty dress. I've seen porn stars wear more. And this dude that she's with is playing with her titties during it. They're having a party. And, I mean, take away the politics. Jesus Christ. She's fun. I mean, I'd like to be the play.
Do you want your Congress people to be fun or serious?
No, you're mixing. If you want me to talk about her as a congressperson, first of all, she's a liar. She was denying that she vaped. Didn't even know what vaping was. But then when they found the video, oh, I'm so sorry. I mean. What is
I've
with
fallen
that?
Short of my own standards.
Oh, yeah. Someone told me she... I don't know if this is true. Someone told me she's already a grandmother. She's like 36, but her kid already had like a kid already. And is that true or am I reading wrong?
I don't know anything else about her except, you know, like she loves shows, live shows.
No, you're correct. I think she had to drop out of high school because she was pregnant.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I think she barely won the election. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Colorado. What are they, just got dumb people in Colorado? How do you elect someone like her?
They're all high, too. Come on. Colorado is the first state that legalized marijuana.
Isn't she the one who's screaming about drag queens all the time and they're immoral? Yeah. And isn't she a big morality person?
I love the bong sound effect in the background.
Sorry, Robin.
Go ahead.
She doesn't want you exposing children to sexuality, but what she means is homosexuality. She doesn't mean sexuality. Right. She's okay with you seeing heterosexuality, just not gay people. And that's what I take issue with, too, is I don't do sexual stuff in front of my kids.
And how embarrassing. Like, she's at a play of Beetlejuice, and she's the annoying... Like, this is a woman, she's a congresswoman, She's the annoying person. There was some pregnant woman behind her, if you watch the video, who's saying, I think she's saying to her, can you please stop vaping? I don't want to breathe that shit in. And I guess judging from the video, I hope I have the story right, they had to escort her out of a play because she can't act appropriately in a play. I mean.
Well, she can't act appropriately anywhere.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, how did she win an election? How does a woman like that win an election? I mean. You know, there's certain standards of like, don't lie. I mean, once you get caught lying like that, goodbye. But no one resigned.
Not anymore. No, not anymore. You don't have to leave. You just stay there and weather the storm, whatever
but
storm
I gotta
there
admit,
may be.
When I watch that tape, I go, God, she must be so much fun to fuck. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, she's a hot girlfriend, but, you know, do we need her in Congress?
Did you notice that when he reached
over? We need her in a strip club, and we need her to give lap dances, and we need her to play with guys' dicks through their pants.
Are those real, Howard? Are those real breasts?
I don't know. Listen, that I can't answer. I am, I examined the tape.
You can't confirm or deny.
Those dresses are tricky. Those dresses really make them look perfect, so it's hard to tell if it's the dress or if they really are like that. You know, she was born with them. It's pretty impressive if she was.
She's my kind of gal. But,
did you notice, though, when he reached...
Howard's kind of gal, Todd.
You are a magician. I'm going to talk slowly, like Tracy told me to do years ago. That was incredible. That's exactly... I have not... I don't even know how to listen to Howard Stern. Listen to him. I can't even tell you. I that's exactly what I meant. It was so apparent there might be. Wow. That's where she belongs. I mean, if she was being crude, but it's not being a lawmaker, maybe. But you see, I didn't mean to talk about this. However, this is who we are collectively in this moment in time in America.
Yes.
We have to remember that. So I'm serious, and it's unfortunate. And I'm no stodgy person.
No,
Howard Stern, he hit it out of the park. Well, because, you know, Robin, from what I remember, you know, she'll take him to task sometimes or whatever. See, I didn't even recognize his voice. I didn't even know he was still on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
I think it's kind of strategic how he talks about things that he's not sure of or he doesn't know. Or, you know, didn't she become a grandmother at 36? He knows she became a grandmother at 36, but it engages everybody around him and brings them into the conversation too.
Well, that's the first time I gave her too much thought after I didn't really need to after I saw, you know, what she was early on. But
and
but
you know what? Okay. I do have to lodge an objection, and it's probably you know, it's not surprising given that it's Howard Stern we're talking about here. But when he starts asking, you know, are those real?
Well, that's Howard.
Right, that's Howard sick. Stern. I mean, guys just can't help speculating on women's bodies. And this is in no wise a defense of lore.
No.
And you know, I have never heard. Then again, I live a sheltered life. I have never heard a dress with décolletage referred to as a titty dress. But then
that's
again,
that's like a tight fitting. Then, well, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a tight dress
with a low neckline. Yeah.
Right, and it's form fitting. You know, not quite a maxi dress.
I can tell you this much. In women's fashion, they are described as bodycon dresses. Bodycon dresses. And she wears a lot of bodycon.
What is bodycon?
Well, it's body conforming or body contouring.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's how they look. You're right.
I can't wear them. I can't wear them. I hate it, but I can't. But the thing is, it calls to mind when he said, "Are those real?" Do you remember she went in for what was it, kidney transplants a few years ago? And there are in fact photographs of her, and you know she's standing in the bar that she and her husband, who got busted for indecent exposure because he whipped his dick out in front of a teenager in a bowling alley to show the tattoo on it. I mean, we are talking about.
Is she Sarah Palin's cousin?
You know, I would not want to see the 23andMe of those two. Third cousin at the very least. But she's standing at the bar in their now defunct restaurant, where the waitresses all wore sidearms, no shit, and she's wearing a Second Amendment T-shirt with the no step on snack, you know, the coiled rattlesnack.
Right.
I had the best laugh with Ferg yesterday, Todd, because we had to go out somewhere,
And we got passed on the road by some, you know, because Bristol, Tennessee and Bristol, Virginia, you know, they're right there on the state line. You can walk across the street and be in one state or the other. And some car passed us.
Oh,
Virginia.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know.
Wait a minute. It goes right down the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
The state line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I remember that.
And so in Virginia, in the Old Dominion, when you get your urine colored snake flag plate, it's, you know, urine colored with like black or blue letters, and it's got that stupid snake in the middle of it. And Ferg looks at me and says, "Hey," what he said, "you know what? You know what a rattlesnake does when you stand on its head?" I said, "What?" He said, "Not shit." Because you're standing on its head. And then he just looked at me and said, "These fuckers, no step on snack." Get it, snake and neck.
Oh, man, that was great.
No step on snack. So she's wearing her no step on snack t-shirt and got her hand on her sidearm and smiling lissomely, winsomely at, I mean, that's a come hither smile if I ever saw one, at the camera. And frankly, not a lot there. But I understand that because I'm not trying to get gross or anything. I want that for myself.
On the other side of her shirt, is it a George Floyd image?
We don't have a back view, Todd. God, y'all just want everything, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. What?
No step on snap.
You were about to say something, and I cut you off with that stupid...
No. I was just pointing out that... Yeah... Most women do implants for themselves, unless they happen to be working in the sex or porn industry. And, you know, it's kind of gross. But then again, she made it gross because instead of saying anything, she made up this elaborate lie about going in to get her kidneys worked on. And I know I am not the only person who remembers how she came out with, you know, D cup kidneys.
Well, why didn't she just say, if you have to even respond, but I guess you do if you're a public official, you have to account for your time possibly. Why did this person just not say, I'm having a medical procedure? And then that's...
You don't even have to say that.
Right.
I'm taking a little time off. Mama's going to the beach.
That's exactly right. See, that's about process. When you're following process, that's exactly right. Because you get done. You put it on the calendar. These are vacation days, sick days, whatever. That's it. End of story. You know, but maybe, you know, it's... I heard what you said, though, about the... why, the reason. You know... There's nothing wrong with having fun, but I mean, come on. It's just the way, look, she's just trashy all the way around. She's just trashy.
And,
I mean,
yeah,
that's just the way it looks.
I generally try.
Am I wrong here?
No. And you know what? There. I try not to throw this around because it's terribly judgmental and no small degree elitist, but she's white trash. Okay?
Well. That's what, I mean, you know.
She's white trash.
That's a shame. It's a shame, you know. I mean, well, that's what, but see, once again,
that's what
Trey, for her, so that's what they want.
That's what Trey Crowder was talking about. You know, maybe I should find that clip. I thought about playing
it. Is your intern working today?
Yeah, she's right here with me. In fact, she is me. And I'm searching diligently now.
Because he really
did sort of get to the essence of it. And Trey Crowder's hugely, hugely talented anyway. And his clips are usually not that long. This, however, was significant.
He kind of gets to the point.
Well, this required more time. This is a full 2 minutes of takedown. Let's check it out, because Flavio referenced this earlier.
Every time I hear something about Lauren Boebert, I become more convinced that we somehow went to high school together or something. You know, like, I know this person, man. I do, because, see, I'm of the whiskey tango persuasion myself, and as such, I know another trash monster when I see one. Okay, I mean, you know.
Whiskey tango? You know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is what the fuck, but Whiskey Tango is white trash.
Persuasion myself, and as such, I know another trash monster when I see one. Okay, I mean, you know. It's not like she tries to hide it or anything. She just got kicked out of a theater in Denver for vaping and hollering stuff, right? My fellow trailer Americans, I ask you, who among us? Okay, but no, seriously, Boebert checks so many red-ass boxes, it's insane. Right? Like, she was born in Florida, a.k.a. the Fertile Crescent of Crazy Crackers, right, to a teen mom, Natch. She grew up on welfare and food stamps. She dropped out of high school when she herself got knocked up. Now that baby's having a baby, so she's a 36-year-old mamaw. She married, then divorced a guy who couldn't stop pulling his dick out in public. She's always talking shit about having a gun in her purse, and she has an ongoing feud with the other craziest bitch in town. That is some top-shelf trashery right there. It is. Like, you just know she claims her grandma's one-quarter Cherokee, right? You just know it. And I'm saying, all that makes me kind of wish that I could root for this person, you know? Honestly, like, I do. Like, if she was out here actually standing up for the little guy and taking the elites down a peg, reading stuff, knowing facts, shit like that, I'd be all for it. I'd be like, hell yeah, finally some representation, you know? But she's not. No, she's dedicated her life to being wrong out loud. You know, like, every time she talks, it's like the ChatGPT for harmful ignorance. Like, she outwardly hates other marginalized groups. She screws over our own people by trying to take away the exact same government benefit programs that kept her alive as a child. Like, Lord, I cannot stand a ladder puller, y'all. Drives me crazy. I'm saying, I don't hate Lauren Boebert because she's white trash. I hate her because she's a piece of shit. Right? I know some of y'all are going to hear that and think, well, that's redundant, but it's not. It's really not. Some of the kindest, most genuine, and empathetic people I've ever known were trailer babies, and an affinity for Mountain Dew and the early works of Limp Bizkit does not change that fact, okay? This country would do well to have a chamber full of them, but alas, it is not to be. No, instead, we've got Boebert, and Boebert is just another loudmouth, vindictive asshole who somehow took away all the wrong lessons from her life and now spends her time spewing misplaced rage and making us all look bad. It's a damn shame. Love y'all.
He ain't wrong.
Well, you know what? Isn't he a comedian?
Yes. He does comedy tours and stuff. I think of him more as a humorist.
Well, he's like Will Rogers right there. He's just kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say what he said because, you know, I could, I have, but. I mean, frankly, like he said, when it appears that all those boxes are checked. Like, I didn't know all this history, but, I'm not surprised.
Florida, the Fertile Crescent of Trashy Crackers, is one for the ages.
You know what he's talking about.
Because I had some anthropology classes, I know where the Fertile Crescent is. Yeah, that's
the Redneck Riviera, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's talking about all of North Florida down to little north of maybe Tampa Bay, going straight across the state. You know, that part of Florida
all
that
way
you can't
over to Alabama.
That part of Florida that you can't tell what's Florida and what's Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. And then you get on 10 and just keep driving. Like, oh, get me the hell out of here, and keep driving until you get to California. Or where, you know, out west. Yeah. Well, you know, People do what they do. I'm trying not to be as judgmental as I used to be.
No, but look, how do you not? And by the way, your neighbor.
I'm trying to be kind.
I have to say, your neighbor David in South Carolina, Stan, answered the call and met Ralph's challenge. So we're down to 1450, which is huge.
As we
race toward a flurry of continued bill paying here as we go down the downhill side of September toward the freezing temperatures of October. Thank you, David. Thank you, Ralphs. And if anybody else would like to help out, it'd be great if we could knock out, you know, another 250 and maybe, yeah, then be able to have, like, last Monday covered. That'd be great. I'm sorry. I walked all over you, Todd. I apologize.
No,
you said you're trying not to be so judgmental. I don't think you have to try not to be judgmental in this case. Because we're not even judging. We're merely talking about her abhorrent conduct. We're not judging. This is not a close case. There's no both sides to this, okay? I mean, bless his heart, it wasn't in the clip, but, you know, Trey Crowder got close. He said, yeah, I've been hammered drunk and embarrassed myself at 22 and the Titans were losing again. Sure. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, y'all. But this wasn't that. This was not that.
No.
And there are standards that are supposed to apply to members of Congress, standards of decorum and conduct. I mean, it's not like the House has rules for conduct unbecoming if you're not inside the House. They got rules for how you say things in a House situation.
Yeah.
But those rules don't matter.
Wow,
those rules don't matter either. I mean, Marge was in a hearing the other day and yelled at a representative from Hawaii who was talking about reproductive health care as health care, and she just walked right over and said, "They're murdering babies."
Hmm.
You know, I wonder sometimes if these Republicans who have her on their committees, in the quiet moments of their contemplative lives, ask themselves, you know, maybe my friends in the Democratic Party had it right when they kicked her off of all of her committees. Because it sure would be nice to have a decent, civil little congressional hearing once in a while without that shrieking Mimi over there randomly hollering at people like she's got some sort of fetus Tourette's.
You know, both of these people have something in common. They both seem like they're kind of in arrested development. They're like junior high school girls, you know, who just can't quite get it together. And, you know, they don't understand decorum. Because I listened to what you said and I put my former work hat on and I tried to just objectively look at the behavior. And that's not a judge. It's like, yeah, that's inappropriate behavior. Like, this is a big pattern though. Maybe there's something to it. Yeah, but once again, what do you do about it? Because people vote for her. They want her. You know? And that's the thing. It's not the MILF. It's not the manly old fascist. It's the 70 million people that voted for him. Why did you know, are you that desperate? Are you not listening to, like, when the FBI checks people out or the government, when you have a high level position in the government and they talk to your neighbors and friends and, you know, you don't even know it until after the fact. They knock on doors. They talk to people and believe it. And so, you know, he couldn't pass that test because his peer group, you know, like everybody was like, oh no, that's crazy. No, that's ridiculous. He can't. People just dismissed it. And I'll never forget, it was around Halloween. It was like coming up next few weeks. I called you up and I said, you know what? I said, the Philadelphia area is the most democratic place on earth. And I see fissures. I said, if there's any inkling of any loss in this area, that's it. Hillary's done. and, you know, everybody was already sipping champagne and stuff. I wasn't, you know, I could feel, I already saw that, and I was like, nope. So anyway, that's something we had to deal with. But let me ask you this, because I don't know what I don't know. But this is what I want to ask you. I'd like to pick your brain about something. And if you've already covered it, just tell me to move on, and I will.
No, I would never do that.
Well, I mean, I don't want to waste your time.
You're not. This is what these three hours are for every evening, Todd.
Well, all right. So we remember the insurrection, right?
We do.
Okay. And I remember we were talking before that, and we were speculating how many people in our lawmaking class were compromised by maybe a foreign entity, right?
Yeah, who still has all the data that they got from the RNC server and did not release.
And a bona fide like James Bond motherfucking spy in the NRA, and you know who they associate with. Sleeping with the head of the NRA. They don't talk about that enough. That's a big deal, as far as I'm concerned. Because all these things add up. But let me not get distracted. So, you know, now, as I started, you know, in the beginning of our conversation, Jehoshaphat had been intimating this a little bit. And he can only say so much.
Yeah, I mean.
He's losing it.
He want, you know, if as I suspect, we really are the evening before bed listen. He's terribly jealous that he can't just throw it, because did you catch the reference in the clip earlier where he said, you know, or when I occasionally throw around an F-bomb?
Yes.
He craves that freedom. He craves that freedom, Todd.
Can't you see it? Can't you? You see it. You see it, and I see it. And
he had to obliquely say Jim Jordan with his jacket off. He can't say Jim jacket off Jordan. Although now I wonder if Lauren is Lauren jacket off Bovert. See what I did there? Yeah, if we had a laugh track, this would be hilarious.
That's a cowbell, I think. Well,
thank you. Lauren jacket off Bobert. It's the jacket off party.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I mean, jacket off party.
Uh-oh. All right, let's not get too far.
I'm sorry.
But, you know,
just
it is fun.
Run the program right into the gutter, Roxanne. Do it. Yeah.
But yeah, I said, wait a minute.
Sorry.
This is back and forth. And so all I can say is that we are seeing the same. It's hard to contain yourself. You see all this nonsense. Oh, and this feeds into something I had to write down as we were talking, because, and then I still have to pick your brain about some things that Mr. Coffee Man was intimating. The GOP is dead. They just have a label called Republicans, but they're not, that party is not the Republican Party.
This is not Ulysses S. Grant's Republican Party.
It's just not.
It's not Calvin Coolidge's Republican Party. And that's not to suggest for a moment, Todd, that either Ulysses S. Grant's or Calvin Coolidge's Republican Party, well, maybe Grant's more than Coolidge's, but, you know, Coolidge and Harding and Hoover and that lot ran this country right into a ditch. I mean, let's remember the reason that we inaugurate presidents in January now instead of March is because this country was on fire and burning to the ground even after FDR had been elected, and he had to sit there and watch the fire burn until March of 1933 before he could do anything about it.
That's right. See, but that, well, God, you're touching on so many things.
I can't help it. My brain's weird.
I'm glad you said that, though, because a lot of people don't, a whole lot went on during FDR's administration. Like, a lot of people don't understand that populist Wilkes Well, I guess everybody's seen it now. It's been on TV. But there was a lot of stuff going on under the radar. You know, because we were trying to find out who we were. And you know, like I've stated before, you know, the South, in the South, they will put your name in the paper. If you were on the dole, the first people on the dole, they're in the paper. They were trying to, you know, chastise you, you know, make you stick out. You're an outlier. Something's wrong with you. And, so there was a stigma. So this, when you hear people say, you know, talk about the New Deal, this goes back, the negativity against it goes back generations. You know, this is different. But, wow, you just, well, you open up a can of worms. Yeah, there's, oh, W-2s. They should adopt that label. W-2s, like, you know, the Whigs 2.0, W-2s. Yeah, that's the way they're acting. They're crazy. But so anyway, Morning Joe was intimating, talking all around because he couldn't say it. Now, what Tuberville is doing, is it Tuberville or Tuberville? Because I'd like
well,
to
Well, he says it's
correct.
Tuberville. You don't have to be correct with him. He's an idiot and a treasonous bastard. So you know, John Bridevo calls him Tommy Tubaguts or Tommy Tubashit. I call him Tommy the Tuber. Because, you know, Tuberville is literally potato farm.
Yeah, or potato, I like that.
Or potato town.
I like Tuberville.
So, yeah.
All right.
So, and it turns out he's conflicted up to his eyeballs. He's bought a bunch of defense contractor stock.
Well, that's what I'm getting to now. Something's going on here because after the first couple of sessions, when you are holding up the military and you see the climate we're in, we just had an Axis, like a meeting. I know somebody else out in the airways said Axis, but it's the truth, man. When you see North Korea and Russia meeting, come on, let's, you know, stop the nonsense. You are visibly making us look weak. In addition to really making us look weak, and we've had all these naval accidents. I've never seen that many naval accidents in my life. In the past 10 years, we had ships running into each other. You know, that's not a good thing. So, you know, these antics, this is what we're getting to. Who benefits from that? But our enemies.
Precisely.
So is he taking... It's easy to get money from a foreign entity, and you won't even know it. That's what they call cutouts. It could be somebody hooking you up with a sweetheart business deal. I mean, they can disguise it. It's not just like, hey, here's $60,000, vote this way, or keep holding it up. That's simple. That's simple, Simon. That's not the way it works. You know, it's more sophisticated than that. And that goes back into Russia. Russia has won this little thing they started with messing with our elections. They've already won. They didn't have to spend a lot of money. They've already got, what, almost half of this population believing that something's wrong with corrupt with our country in terms of elections. You know, they don't have to fire a shot. And it's a shame, and you can't tell them anything. And they project, and they're ignorant. I don't know what to say. I really don't. We're in a terrible mess. And now we have AI coming. And we have a whole lot of unsophisticated people, and I'm just like, I don't know what to say. What do you think?
It goes back to that old quote that eventually the American people will get the president of their wildest dreams, namely a complete and absolute idiot. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, we got that. What's next?
Well, I mean, isn't Lauren Boebert what's next? I mean, aren't we living in what's next? Isn't Marginal Trailer Queen what's next?
You know, you stop. You know what?
And the dangerous ones. Yep. The dangerous ones. The dangerous ones aren't Marge and Lore.
They're local.
No, the dangerous ones are the Andy Biggs. And the Ralph Normans of South Carolinistan.
Oh.
Okay, because they've actually got the cognitive function and the and the right-wing think tank money behind them to come up with legitimate, no, I mean, not, that's the wrong word, but to come up with
accomplishable
plans to completely destroy everything this country is supposed to be about.
Okay. So you see that new plan they have.
Look at the
right?
Federalist Society. Look at the Federalist Society.
Did you hear me? It's out now. They have a new plan to deconstruct the government. You hear me?
Yes.
I'm not kidding. You already know about that, I hope.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because it was on C-SPAN and they were just talking about it.
What is it? It's something 25.
Mm-hmm. Project something 25. Right. So they you know, and I'm going to tell you who.
And it's wide-ranging. It's everything. Basically, it's a reboot of that hateful cockamamie horseshit that was released by Rick Skeletor Scott down in Florida when he was going to try to challenge Moscow Mitch.
The convicted felon Rick Scott? No, that's Texas. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about
No, Rick Scott, who somehow managed to not be indicted and not be a felon.
Oh. But it was still, well, it was close to, anyway, right? Okay, Florida.
Yeah. And it's every right-wing wish list from soup to nuts.
Well, that's frightening.
It's the deconstruction of the federal government.
What plays
really, really hot in it is the fact that they want to, delegalize marriage equality, and they want to damn sure cram women like me back into the closet.
It's awful. From every front, this is the last push of you know what, and
fascism.
And if you look, fascism with that mixture between that, like we saw during the Red Summer. It's a mixture between right-wing, quote-unquote, Christianity, fascism, that type of thing, that crowd. You see, we didn't stop the country for 2 days when those folks were in Charlottesville were marching around with torches saying Jews will not replace us. We missed a very golden opportunity. That was a mistake. That was a huge mistake. I can't tell you. That's going to go down in the history books as a misstep. I can guarantee you of that. I'm confident. Yes. There's no way around that. Because this is what we're dealing with brown shirts now. You see? The fascist, Jehoshaphat waited so long to use the F word. You know?
Yeah, that wasn't the F word. No.
Yeah. So, you know what? It's funny, man. It's privilege, and that's kind of what we're talking about because it plays into exactly what we're talking about with Mark Meadows. You know what? He is so privileged. He thought he could just do whatever he wanted, you know, and it didn't matter. Because remember, he's a voter fraudster, and you don't hear that a lot. They should be saying that every day. Oh, yeah, and he's registered in two different states.
You know, that's right. So much shit falls through the cracks, Todd. I mean, it's like remembering when, suddenly remembering when Lauren Boebert had her kidneys worked on.
Right.
Or what you just mentioned. Well, Mark Meadows was registered to vote in multiple jurisdictions, different states.
Just everybody remember that. Anybody who's listening, remember that. Anytime you hear about voter fraud, because they put especially black people in jail. There's a woman in Georgia in jail for 5 years. There's people who get out and they think they can vote because they were told they could vote. And it's like, oh, you shouldn't have voted. You're going back to prison. And it's like, what? You can't be serious. Oh, no, you're going to prison.
Right.
So that's that privilege. And January 6th was privilege. And you know what should have happened to those people?
You know, you're right. Hold on. This is a non-funny cowbell. January 6th was white privilege.
No, plain and simple. That is the video. I'm telling you, that's instructional material, and I'm not being funny. Like you said, not funny. Because there are two terms that people do not like to hear generally in America, and it's unfortunate, it's keeping us behind. It's white supremacy and white privilege. People feel offended because already white people...
There's no such thing as white privilege.
Yeah. You know, and they know white males dying sooner now, and, you know...
Oh, okay, okay, but let's... Hold on. Let's unpack that for a sec.
This ain't Amazon, bitch.
Ah! No. Now, seriously, though, think about it. You know, right. in the immediate aftermath of January 6th, all the maggots were screaming, that was really Antifa, and that was really the Black Lives Matter people in whiteface. It wasn't good, God-fearing, Bible-believing, white, repeat. No, it wasn't us. We didn't do it. But it was.
I'm sorry.
And if it hadn't, I just want to say this. If Black Lives Matter protesters and Antifa had done what these maggots did on January 6th, they would have been mowed down in a hail of machine gun fire, and it would have been over in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
One, they would never have done it, but two, the response would have been brutal, immediate, and deadly.
Absolutely.
And how is the fact that a bunch of white guys felt comfortable enough trying to overturn the Constitution of the United States and citing the things like the Boston Tea Party, once again, a bunch of white guys trying to blame it on a bunch of non-white people? Oh, no, it's definitely Andy. It's definitely. That's the epitome of white privilege.
Robin,
January 6th was an experiment in white privilege. I mean, that's deep. That may be you said a lot of deep shit over the years. That's one of the deepest things you've ever said, Tom.
I thought about it a lot. I said it out in public, but you see, it is something that everyone can assimilate. Because it's video. You only have to read, and it doesn't take long. You can just look at 2 minutes of that. And that, because I've done this to people, say, well, what do you think would have happened if they were black? A bunch of black people doing that. To my white counterparts. They're like, oh, well, they would have been right. I said, exactly. So when you hear this term white privilege, this is what it means. Because, you know, apparently it's, when you say white, it doesn't mean anything. It's like, oh, it ain't nothing. Come on, everybody's equal. You people can vote. You got a house. What are you worried about? You know, they just blow it off like it's nothing. So that's once again a visual aid, a teaching tool, and it's available to everyone. It's on your phone, and you can clip it, you know, and make it short, you know, edit it. Just take out a nice part, because I'm gonna tell you, the battering ram, that part, I was like, oh my God, why do they let these people? Like, no. And see, this is what I'm saying.
And there's white privilege in the sentencing too.
In the sentencing.
Do you think a Black Lives Matter leader, if they had done what Enrique Tarrio did, would have gotten 22 years instead of 33? The judge would have been looking for ways to make it life.
Well, he's interesting because he is one of the darker skinned people.
Yeah.
Right. And he got a pretty high sentence compared to a lot of the other people. I mean, compared, you know, but you know, we got two big points here to build off of. Like if we had on paper, we have Roman numerals of one.
But I don't know if you know this, but yesterday.
What?
Yesterday, a 30-car caravan arrived in New York City full of maggots, over 100 of them, including, Proud Boys and such. and they squared off against counter protesters outside of Trump Tower. One guy was yelling into his cell phone, "Free the Proud Boys! They did nothing wrong. Proud Boys forever. The real men who stand up for American women and children." Another guy was carrying a pride flag that had "Gays for Trump" written on it.
Oh my God.
Because Nitwit Nero is facing a lot of shit in New York this week.
Oh God. You know what? We're so fortunate in a sick way. See, this is some new shit. This is some new shit. Do you understand? I'm serious. Oh, first of all, back what you were saying when you know serious. Oh, yes, everything we were saying was very serious. And the only thing I wanted to add to that real quick was, it's very offensive when people talk about the insurrection where you're trying to disrupt where that wooden box goes with the ballots in it, as opposed to what you perceive a group of black people protesting about their rights, when in fact other people are damaged in 90-some% of the time. So it's quite different, and it's quite offensive. So let's just get that out there and clear it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, check out a little of the audio from what happened yesterday in New York.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, it's Project 25. Bernadette jumped in to remind us of that. Oh, hold on. We need to unmute it. There we go.
And a part by you and by some pedophiles. He is here. He must be no own part.
People blowing horns in, like, vehicles with American flag decals on them and a decal of Donald Trump sitting in the back, on the rear window, Donald Trump looking out the window? Really?
Trump for the Proud Boys!
And there goes one of those tiny penis pickup trucks, all festooned with maggot flags and American flag decals, and of course the eagle that scared Nitwit Nero in that one video. And it went on and on. Let's see, a little more. A guy showed up, a Trump impersonator showed up to take pictures with people. And the funny thing is, this is all taking place outside of Trump Tower. And again, if he had his choice, if he was there, Nitwit Nero would have had them mowed down with machine gun fire. Trump 24. One of the signs reads, "Trump 24 or before." Y'all, they want to do it again. They want to get it right this time. Right in there, you know.
Yeah, of course, do it again. No, they have plans.
And the guy's wearing a Trump 1 t-shirt. Trump 1 says America. No.
No, Trump!
People wearing masks, but not the good kind. I've seen these Trump caravans, like, mess up traffic around here. They brought buses. This is Fifth Avenue in New York.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people with Proud Boys crap on. Most of them looking like members of Meal Team 6.
They need to go out. They will feel more welcome in Queens.
Yeah. They were at the temple.
Well, of the cultish leader with the dilapidated building.
But the thing is, Melanoma's the only one up there, along with the kid. And she's like, I wish these people would go away.
Trump or death!
Trump or death. It reminds me of the original Men in Black movie. Your offer is acceptable. Yeah, she brought her anti-vaxxism along with her. Take off your mask and breathe!
Yeah, well, oh my God, that's going to come up again.
It's not an again. We're there. The funniest thing, though, is all of these, you know, all of these whiskey tangos, as he referred to it, they then descended on Nitwit Nero's golf club at Bedminster in New Jersey. Outside Trump National, and they just wanted their God Emperor to come out and say hello. That's all. Of course, he's not. He doesn't want anything to do with them. Probably afraid of them, because these
okay.
are these people are not okay, Todd.
No. So, does that appear to be cultish behavior to you?
Entirely, yes.
And a little crazy?
A lot crazy.
And, and speaking of crazy, back to the mentally ill fascist. He's breaking down already.
What happened this weekend?
That.
He said Biden wants to start World War II?
Yeah, yep. And he thinks he's running against Obama.
I'm ahead of Obama in the polls. This is Wiley. This is crazy like a fox. He's setting up that moment. He's setting up that moment when he gets wheeled into the courthouse with the plaid blanket over his lap, dribbling oatmeal from his lips. He said that. He said Joe Biden wants to start World War II.
He said that. Now I picked up something in the midst of Kristen Welker, who I believe is Philadelphia. I think her folks have a real estate, like Welker Properties or something like that. But that could be wrong.
By the way, Jimmy in the Great Northwest said Todd's right on. America doesn't want to admit to white supremacy and white privilege, but likes to scream reverse racism. Yeah. And by the way, you have heard from your neighbor, Clarence.
Hey!
Subject line, Lauren. Miss Lauren. Robin, I grew up with folks who indulged in dope shooting, dope snorting, and dope smoking. I think Lauren took what they say in a hit house. She just took a blast and it kicked her ass. I bet a dollar it was meth or coke. Just saying. LOL. I'm pretty sure she was vaping weed oil. And that shit will kick your ass. Because, I mean, that is some high potency, like, you know, 36% THC stuff. And if it's a sativa... That may be what she was vaping. She may have had a couple of edibles on the way in, things kick in, ooh, I don't you know no. Well, I mean, I don't do any of it, but nope, no
well,
edibles.
Last
edible I did was Delta 8. On the recommendation of Scary Jerry, and it was literally medicinal.
What happened?
I'm such a lightweight. I've told the story. I took it for nerve pain after surgery because I really didn't want to take what do they call it? Gabapentin. Because it would have reduced me to a blithering idiot. No, I took a whole Delta 8 gummy, and the next thing I knew, I was knocking down my Chinese dinner meal and Annette's, and then went after the Bluebell vanilla ice cream and realized how high I was and went to bed, turned out the lights, and then turned them back on because I was afraid of what would happen if I forgot how to breathe.
Wow, I didn't know that worked.
Well, it does if you're that much of a lightweight like me.
Well, okay. Well, on the opposite end of the spectrum, what you're saying about the loyalty, it's not what you. It's not that. Like I said before,
This ain't the Mexican dirt weed. That ditch weed that some of us enjoyed back. You know, when you had to have your Frampton Comes Alive album out and you were de-seeding it as you drove across the Tennessee River.
They have a warning on there. There's a warning on the tube. It says may cause psychosis.
Yeah, this shit will warning. This shit will fuck you up.
That's what they're telling you because they say, hey, we're not kidding. I'm not, and it's true for you. And you get that big man look. No. When they say that, they mean it. Like just ease into it. Figure out. But she was a little out of control though. She didn't even. I don't know. She didn't look right. And the way you describe her dancing in the seat. But she might have been. Look, she's the type of person. I mean, come on, given her.
Wait a minute. I think you just created a song parody. She was dancing in the seat, calling out to Denver now. Dancing in the seat,
loving Bobert. Dancing in the seat.
Oh. Well, there went fundraising for the rest of the night. But thank you, Ralphs.
Sorry.
That came through. David in South Carolina, Stan came through. So we're down to 1450. And David, by the way, also your neighbor, subject line F-35, because, well, we can't find one of our F-35s. In case Todd is searching for the missing F-35, tell him it apparently crashed over here near me. Yeah.
Damn.
The flying paperweight.
Oh no! You know there've been some maneuvers here lately.
I guess they grounded a bunch of planes until they figure out, as Nitwit Nero said, what the hell is going on.
Hmm. Oh my God! The F-35. Oh, what a boondoggle! Oh my God! Now it's coming back to me. Oh my! You know how many billions of dollars we spent on that? That platform.
Oh yeah, oh, I mean, yeah. It's the flying Swiss Army knife. It's supposed to do everything.
But it doesn't work.
Not great.
Does it work? I don't know, because John McCain used to talk about, we need stability. I just don't get it. It's like these elections, all these elections coming up.
Yeah, Marine Corps has paused all flights in air operations. It disappeared after a mishap forced the pilot to eject from the aircraft during a training mission over South Carolina.
See, I hadn't read
that. And see, here's the problem. The Marine Corps doesn't have a fucking commandant because of Tommy the Tuber. So General Eric Smith, who is the acting commandant, but does not actually have the power to order the Marines into active duty, he directed all Marine Corps aviation units to conduct a two-day pause in operations this week to discuss aviation safety matters and best practices. They've had three what are called Class A mishaps in the last 6 weeks. They had a crash of an FA-18 in California that killed the pilot. They lost an MV-22 Osprey in Australia that killed five Marines because it's a transport vehicle. And then they lost the F-35 on Sunday.
Okay.
And now they're...
So Navy plane?
No, this is the Marine Corps.
Now we got Marines on notice and the Navy.
Well, the Marines are the ones who paused. It was an F-35B Lightning II. And it was out of Joint Base Charleston. Navy and Civil Air Patrol teams, including civilian aircraft, are trying to find the aircraft. Teams continue to search for the U.S. Marine Corps' F-35B using ground and air assets. The pilot is in stable condition. And since they can't find it, people are military folks are wondering, you know, wonder if the transponder doesn't work.
Man, I got to look that. I can't wait. Oh, I'm going to look that. Yeah, wait a minute. This is you picked my brain. I didn't even know that was going on.
Yeah, they've been looking around Lake Moultrie and Lake Marion.
Oh, see, that's swampy there. That's Francis Marion swamp.
Yeah, this may require Yoda to lift it up out of the swamp.
Oh, he could be in the muck, man. No. Mm-mm. Robin, he could be. There's swamp. This place is awesome. There's swamps where you wouldn't think there would be swamps.
They don't call it the low country for nothing.
Oh, my goodness. You see what I mean? We're degrading.
But the F-35 is a piece of shit. They had one crash. They had one crash in 2018 at Beaufort County, South Carolina. A Japanese one went into the drink over the Pacific.
This is the boondoggle plane that was never meant to be. Remember, there were always cost overruns. It never did work right. A lot of people in Congress are like, look, that's enough. As people in the shop say, when you take your car in, don't put good money after bad. They love that phrase. And sometimes you need to listen to them. Let it be somebody else's problem. Sell it to the damn, whatever, Nicaragua or something. I don't know.
We tried that once. It got Ronald Reagan in a bunch of shit.
Look here. Danny looked good. He was good for a minute. Don't get me started on that. God. No, I'm never when the nurses came to my school, man.
So David says the F-35 debris is way over here near Lake City.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's near Myrtle Beach, I think. No, wait. That's going away to the beach. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Going back to Lauren Bobblehead Boobert for just a minute, Matt with an observation. She could be bipolar. I've seen some really odd behaviors when folks are in the midst of a manic episode. Bipolar folks often self-medicate as well. If nothing else, she is at a minimum is not normal and definitely below average.
Uh-oh.
Ding,
ding, ding.
She's freaking out because she got rejected by her hubby of several years who got three boys on her. And then rejected her because he's apparently a violent drunk who can't handle his own wife's success. and had a previous propensity for flipping out his dick in a bowling alley and showing it to a teenage girl. And Lauren's best defense was, well, she kept pestering him and said she wanted to see the tattoo, so he showed her.
Okay.
Always reminds me of the story of the couple who were spending their honeymoon in Jamaica, and the guy walks up to the bar. It's a nudist colony. It's a nudist all inclusive. And the guy walks up to the bar, and to show his abiding love for his new bride, whose name is Wendy, he's had Wendy tattooed on his unit. And he walks up to the bar and he looks at the guy next to him and says, and he noticed the other guy has Wendy on his. And he says, that's wild. That my wife's named Wendy and I got her tattooed on me. And the guy looks at him and goes, oh, no, man. And he reaches down and he goes, it says, welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day. Sorry.
Oh boy!
Wendy, welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day. Yeah, when you have to explain the punchline, it's not quite so funny.
No, we got it. We got it. You know. Well, we're in a bad state of affairs.
We are. I need to thank Libby. Hey, Libby, thank you so much. We're down to 14:25.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Jude just sent along a note saying, grateful to be listening to you and Todd, kindred spirits, warmly, Jude. Thank you, Jude. It seems so vapid and so vacuous to be talking about a member of Congress, you know, rubbing one out for a boyfriend at a traveling musical theater show. But I don't know how vapid and vacuous it is if this is actually a signpost of, you know, what Scott in San Diego used to talk about, saying, you know, the most important place to go in a mall is the place that's got the big sign with the red dot that says, you are here, because you can't figure out where you're going unless you know where you are. And Lauren Boebert is she's the Republican Party. She's the MAGOT Party, okay?
Yep.
And when her enemies, you know, when her mean girl enemy, Marge, gets to say, well, at least I haven't given a hand job in a theater lately. That's a pretty damn, that bar's so low, I don't think you could limbo under it.
That's what I'm saying. This is like when you're on the subway, you know, if you teach, you get out of, you know, you're leaving, going home 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that. And these middle school girls are on the subway. If their parents knew how they acted and talked on the subway and how lewd, I mean, they talk about what this guy's dick looks like. And they're mean to each other. I mean, mean. I mean, middle school to 9th and 10th grade. But that's how these two ladies act. Ladies. That's how these people act, ladies.
Women.
Ah, thank you. Precise term. Thank you. See?
There ain't no lady.
You little word number, you.
Yeah, that's not. No, that's no lady. That's Lauren Boebert.
What does WC Fields when you need him? Oh, my God.
You got people in the Colorado 3rd Congressional District saying, take my representative, please.
Please.
At least the few Democrats that are there. I mean, it's like a plus six Republican district.
Yeah.
But when Todd, when we talk about the maggots, we have to understand that in that district there are people who say, well, you know what? She's a Christian. It's like I always say,
what does that mean?
I ain't perfect, just saved. But somewhere along the way, I think you're supposed to stop engaging in the sinful behavior.
Well,
yeah, but then again, let that former sex worker who has not vaped up and seat danced and whooped and hollered and vaped some more and given a hand job to her boyfriend, let her cast the first stone. I mean, is that how this works?
It's whatever's convenient. You know, we're at a point now where people just find whatever, you know, comports with their reality and say, no, it says right here. You know, okay. You know, I don't even know what to say anymore because, frankly, Kevin McCarthy and this government shut down. And
let's be clear, they want to shut it down. They want to shut it down. The cruelty is the point.
It costs money. They're always
it won't do anything to them. They don't have skin in the game, as the saying goes.
Well, now see, I think. I've been thinking about this too. We need bipartisanship, so we really do, because you know we're the thinkers. We really are. There's other people are reactionaries. We can come up with issues that we can all agree on. You know, there's certain things that we need to agree on. National security. What you just brought up, in terms of voting. Because what did you just say? And if you don't remember, that's fine. But
you're talking about them. Are you talking about them wanting her that way? They didn't, you know, they weren't bamboozled into thinking that they wanted her, that they want her that way. That's the maggot party. They want nasty, performative, redneck, whiskey tango types.
See, okay.
Because they are a perfect reflection. I mean, to a certain extent, right. It is. To a certain extent, Todd, it is democracy. There are are whiskey tango people out there that want to be represented by whiskey tango in Congress.
Exactly. This, 'cause that's who we are. So this is the conundrum, because we feel like, well, maybe you're not, you know, intellectually sophisticated enough. You're not looking at the bigger picture here, you know, especially when it comes to global affairs. You know, but, you know, they can't, you know, they want to do what they want to do. And, you know, I can see the founders talking about this when they're making up the Constitution and how the rules work. Because they didn't, remember, everybody didn't vote. That's some new shit.
No. And that's why they did what they did. They didn't want the whiskey tango contingent.
Right.
They figured if you had enough gumption to own some people or some land, you could probably be trusted with the vote.
Right. You have an investment in this country. You own and the people of property, chattel, you know. You own land, you know. Otherwise, you know, because frankly, like when you look up people, if your folks didn't have any money, it's hard to research them because they didn't leave much of a paper trail. They weren't paying.
I mean, one of the more fascinating aspects of American history, and I learned about this actually reading up on David Crockett.
Mm.
That man kept moving west. Especially after his congressional term. But, you know, he was born in the part of Virginia that I was going through yesterday. He's remembered as a Tennessean. You know, Andrew Jackson was born in North Carolina, but he's remembered as a Tennessean.
Mm.
But David Crockett in particular, he kept moving west because he kept trying to find a patch of ground that he could just lay claim to and live on and live in peace. But every time he got to where he was going, he found out that the land speculators had been there before him, and he wound up in debt to rich white men for a patch of ground to live on.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
We've got this false narrative of the westward expansion. Of earnest, hardworking Christian white people just spreading across the land and stealing land from the Indians. The people who originally stole the damn land were the white land speculators who got there long before the settlers did. The game was rigged. The game was rigged from jump.
I think you need to amplify. I can't tell you what to do, but because we've got to remember, people got huge. When I say huge, like this state where I live, it was just three big tracks. Okay, 1, 2, 3, and North Carolina and South Carolina were the same. And all they wanted you to do, you know, you were representative of England, and you know they want you to make sure that you know you can settle and make sure that people pay. Some people pay some taxes. And, you know, keep a little order, and here's your land grant. So that land grant, that's fancy terms for shit. So when these people talk about other folks getting free things, they got a leg up from the beginning. So they shouldn't be smug. They should be happy to share.
Right, but from the very beginning, of the colonization of this hemisphere, you know, if you had some scratch in England. The coin or the king would grant you land, like, you know, Lord Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And that became Maryland. Or Lord Calvert.
Yeah.
Oh, no, John Calvert, right. Lord Baltimore, that's the same guy. Or Lord Fairfax in Virginia. And then he in turn would get.
They could trust you to be responsible.
It was mercantile and capitalism, because they in turn would then take the suckers who came over, and sell them and part out their grants.
chop them up. That's what they did. Well, that's what they call plats. Right. You can see these plats. This is what happened. There's a handful of people. Each state, almost every state on the East Coast started off with a handful of people.
Yeah.
We all know about Pennsylvania, William Penn. So that's the most famous example.
Yeah, whom Ben Franklin did not even remotely like. Thought William Penn was an elitist POS.
Well, you know that.
But remember, Ben Franklin was originally a Bostonian.
Ben Franklin, I can't hear you.
Ben Franklin was originally a Bostonian.
Oh, there was a helicopter.
Looking for the jet.
Are you here?
I'm here. Yeah, Ben Franklin was a Ben Franklin was a Bostonian who moved south to Philly as a young man. Practically
born. Exactly. He was a printer. He took up printing, and his story is really inspiring.
But what's really fascinating is to see what a different life his sister lived, and what a different life his wife lived. Honey, I'll be back in a little bit. I'll be back in a little bit. I'm going to sail off to France and get laid a lot.
Yeah, that's a shame. I guess though, when you leave home that young, it probably changes you. But he was on his own. But that's still wrong what he did. Yeah, I mean, he was gone for years. And he was starting,
wound up not speaking to his own son because his son chose wealth and the crown over, the new United States. But I got a different story for you. And thank you again. Thank you, Jude. We are down to 1405 now.
1405. Hi, Jude. It's so nice.
Yeah. So that's almost, that's almost a third of a show. So that means we got $205 to go for last Monday.
That's a beautiful thing.
Now, I want to take things back a little closer to home for you there, you and David and Clarence, and talk a little bit about your junior senator.
Are you talking about Scott?
Yeah, Tim Scott, who thinks he is presidential tender. Presidential timber. He's 57, Tim is. And people, I wonder when the last time it was that both senators from a given state were confirmed bachelors. Isn't that wild? South Carolina, Stan, has two guys who have never been known to be associated in any way in terms of relationships or intimacy with women. And so...
Scott is not married.
Tim's, nobody's ever seen him with a woman. Ever.
I thought I saw a marriage ring on his hand.
No.
But that don't mean
nothing. No, I'm looking at his left hand right now. There ain't no ring. And so last night he was speaking in...
I don't doubt it.
But it's not like he's a rounder and a bounder and a ladies' man and just can't be tied down. Again, no one has ever seen Tim Scott in the company of a woman. Again, this is not baiting or any kind of phobia. But just like Lindsay, another confirmed bachelor.
Yeah.
He's in the state. If these two guys, and it would be impossible, but let's just say these two guys are the senators from Vermont.
That's kind of funny.
They could leap right out of the closet and say.
Leap right out of the closet and say,
I love men. And the voters of Vermont would continue to vote for them. But
oh
you
God.
Know where you live. what would happen to Lindsay and Tim if they leapt out of the closet down there, each with a big old bowl of shrimp and grits in their hands, and said, "We like boys."
Lindsay who?
That would be that would be political suicide. So last night in Iowegia, Tim Scott, who has lately been receiving pressure from people who would like to back him if they were just if they could just be sure that he's not queer. Last night, speaking to the evangelicals in Iowegia, he said, "Well, the first thing, he was on stage, and somebody said, "Well, is there any special lady in your life?" And Tim Scott said, "I'm dating a lovely Christian girl." And then he went on, because he knows he has to do some Bible shit talking to these floor rollers and tongue speakers, snake handlers. "One of the things I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ is it points us always in the right direction. Proverbs," because somebody, some staffer, some aide, some campaign functionary found this for him. "Find me something that says it's okay for her, that says that Tim's just looking for the right one. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife a good thing, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And then this is so performative. Then he kneels to the ground and said, "Please pray for me," and rose up grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. And the audience just laughed and laughed and laughed, because they know he don't like girls. It was funny. It was a Christian, because they knew that all the praying in the world wasn't going to find him the right girl, because the right girl is a guy.
But all you got to do is say Christian.
Yeah. But I love it. They're in Iowa, so it wasn't like, "Is there any special lady in your life?"
Well, that's a bridge too far. You know.
And I love the fact that the Washington Post last week, they had a piece in the style section. You know, when you're a senator, when you're a confirmed bachelor senator from South Carolina and you wind up in the Washington Post style section, it's not a good sign. But the article said that Tim Scott's romantic endeavors aren't a scandal so much as they're a mystery. And by God, Ben Terrace, you pixel-stained wretch, they're going to stay that way. Because the boys he pays stay silent. You pay them enough and they'll be quiet. Until they want to be paid again. Oh, and by the way, I just found this out. Our dear sister Jude turned 75 just 9 days ago. She said, "Not old, just humbled." Nothing old about you, Jude. You've got the vigor of a 20-something. But that Bible verse keeps rubbing me the wrong way. Probably, well, given Lauren Boebert, I shouldn't talk about anything rubbing anything. But that Bible verse just rubs me the wrong way. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Thing. A wife is a thing. It's the most the misogyny of Abrahamic religions never ceases to amaze me, Todd. Women are things in the Bible. Did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. I'm sorry. You know what? The Bible's a piece of work.
It is that.
And, you know, I have faith. I believe in God, but, you know, I understand the history behind the Bible, and it's more complicated than it appears to be, possibly. To me.
The word you're looking for. The word you're looking for is bologna.
I prefer turkey pastrami.
Ooh, I got some. I got some smoked Cajun turkey breast at the Wiggling Pig.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was good. A little mayo, a little tomato.
Was it Boar's Head?
No, this. I think it was Smithfield.
Oh, good. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, a little fresh tomato, a little bit of onion, mayo, cheese, right. Toast. Great little lunch snack.
You know, that sounds delicious.
Oh, there's nothing better than a good turkey sandwich. Come on.
No, it never gets old. Some nice cheese, the right bread.
Havarti.
Oh, yeah.
My Kroger sells sliced Havarti and a little, just slightly warm. Gets, yeah. We have
that
to. There has to be some food porn anytime we talk, Todd.
Well, I'm thinking about that. Yes, you're right. And that contrast between the Havarti and the Cajun, that's nice. Because that Cajun turkey breast it's really nice. Because it's not too spicy. Like when you hear Cajun, it's not like. Anybody can eat.
No, it's not. It's not overwhelming. It's just flavorful AF.
Exact. Exactly. I mean, to me, exact. The F word. Yep. Wow. Isn't that something? Well, you know what, Robin? You do an excellent job.
Thank you. I always enjoy our conversations. I do.
I do
always
too.
Have.
And I don't. I'm not. Well, you know what? That's good to hear because I feel the same way. And apparently it comes across. I don't know. But
I think it does. And I think that's what makes this unique because a lot of times, relationships develop over time. And even, even at a great distance, conversational relationships like this, you can tell when it's genuine. And you can tell when it's transactional. Because that's one of the things I can't stand about for-profit media, this idea that, somebody's got a book to hustle, so they'll book them on the program, and the host and the person doing the hustling will act like they're the best of friends when they wouldn't recognize each other if they passed on the street.
Oh, the phony stuff. Yeah.
It's transactional. It's transactional the way a strip joint's transactional.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Sorry, back to Lore again.
God almighty. I'm disappointed.
I mean, do you realize there are sex workers who are they're bound to be. It's a big country. There are sex workers who are embarrassed over her. You are making us look bad. We wait till we get back to the hotel room for all of that. Good Lord, honey.
You know what? That's the truth because they're like, look at you. You rose up. Look, why are you acting like that? See, so, right. So maybe she was, she might just be, I'm glad. You know what? I'm so glad that you brought her back full circle. And I'm going to. Delay. This is what I was thinking is that why did she seem so contrite? She has never been that I remember.
Because people have told her that she may be part of the reason why the Republicans lose the House. And everybody will hate her.
Well, the reason I asked you that is because, honestly, I thought maybe somebody had an intervention with her.
They had an intervention with her, and they said, "Girl, we are going to be out of work. The Republicans are going to lose the House, and it's all going to be on you. And you may not even be able to get a good job." With a right wing cesspit hollering your crazy bullshit. And you dumbass, did you have to give the hand job to the guy who owns the bar that does the goddamn drag shows? Have you been paying attention?
Because that was a sober statement. That was like, I was kind of, you know, I was shocked and impressed. If she could follow through with this, but she's still, you know, who she is. But she don't understand what she's up against. These people can break you. No house of cards, man. That ain't no joke. DC is something. Woo! DC has everything you want and everything you do not want.
Yeah.
God almighty. God, what? How did we end up here?
I mean, a good question.
But the
answer is long and complicated, and it starts. I mean, look at the pacifist wing of the Republican Party in the years running up to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way they criticized FDR for supporting our allies, even before, you know, like with things like the Lend-Lease Act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you come forward and then and you know there's the Dixiecrats in 1948, George
right.
Wallace, there's Richard Hofstadter, the paranoid style in American politics, there's the never again moment on the next morning after the election in 1964 after Barry Goldwater had been buried by Jack Kennedy. Or by Lyndon Johnson, rather. And they said this will never happen again, and they began building the machine that would change America, and they were willing to be in it for the long haul.
Long haul.
And they stayed in it, and Lewis Powell writes the Powell Memo in 1972. He creates the roadmap for Republican tax-exempt donor dollars to reshape American attitudes. He's rewarded for that with a seat on the Supreme Court of the United States. You get Ronald Reagan and the Reagan Democrats, who were just, well, they were white racists who were disgusted by the fact that the Democratic Party spoke up for civil rights and endorsed it. You know, LBJ said we've lost the South for an entire generation. It was a hell of a lot more than a generation.
Yep.
You got the rise of Newt Gingrich in the late 80s and his list of words. I mean, it goes, the great cleanest hunt in the 90s. Idiots shooting watermelons in their backyard with 9mm pistols to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster. You got Ralph Nader campaigning in 2000 saying there wasn't a nickel's worth, a dime's worth of difference between Al Gore and George W. Bush. A phrase that had been repeated in said in 1968 by George Wallace and 1948 by Strom Thurmond, I think. This is, and we talk about this from time to time, Todd. This is not an accident. This did not happen. This
No.
is not some occurrence of sheer happenstance.
It's not. It's a buildup. It's layers and layers.
It's been a project. Yep. And now they're telling us who they are again with Project 25.
These
fuckers would start putting people in ovens tomorrow if they could get away with it. In fact, I've got Nitwit Nero over the weekend attacked liberals, what he called liberal Jews who voted to destroy America. Because they didn't vote for him.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No, wait. No.
And he did this.
I didn't hear you correctly.
And he
No, I didn't hear you correctly. No, he who? I didn't hear you.
He Trump. He Trump. With his message wishing Shova, Shanatova Happy New Year.
Rosh Hashanah just passed.
Yeah. Well, he sent out a message in which he complained about the liberal Jews who voted to destroy America because they wouldn't vote for me.
Damn.
I'm not kidding. His Rosh Hashanah.
Damn.
His Rosh Hashanah message said, just a quick reminder for liberal Jews who voted to destroy America and Israel because you believe false narratives. Let's hope you learn from your mistake and make better choices moving forward. Happy New Year.
Oh my God! You can't. No, you're pulling my leg. Now come on.
No, sir.
It was
bad enough.
Robin,
that, I'm not pulling your leg. This is a real thing. Over at Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, they said it was an ominous warning to American Jews in honor of Rosh Hashanah, retreading well-worn territory of dual loyalty tropes and conflating support for Israel and American Jews. Trump has frequently targeted Jewish Americans for not voting for him, including imploring them to get their act together before it's too late, earning widespread condemnations for Jew-splaining. Trump's opinions of American Jews, however, have deteriorated into stereotypes for decades, touching on tropes of wealth, power, and status.
See, I'm serious. If you have Amazon Prime, watch the first three episodes of Hitler the Lost Tapes. And it's new. This is like 22 or 23, right? 2022 or 23. This is not rehashed. What they're saying, they're talking all around this entity that we're talking about. They're making the connections. And it's just, so, you know, I'm sick of hearing these people say, well, you can't equate this with Nazi Germany. Are you, fuck you.
Yes, you fucking can.
That means you're ignorant.
Over at MSNBC, Mehdi Hassan has been doing a lot of good work. Even with regard to this, he said, even by Trumpian anti-Semitic standards, this is pretty disgusting. And on Rosh Hashanah, we have normalized a very old school, very familiar type of anti-Semitic fascism in this country. It's scary stuff.
We've seen the torches. That was years ago.
Over at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, she used to be president and director of it. Sherrilyn Ifill said that tens of millions would even consider this man to leave the U.S. is grave and alarming. That so many of our vital institutions appear agnostic about it is so disappointing. An Emmy-winning producer by the name of Jim Stewartson said, this is nothing short of a Nazi movement all the way to the top. We must start treating Nazis like Nazis again.
Thank God.
And Brett Mycelis, who co-founded Midas Touch, said there's never been a scarier time to be a Jew in America. This is truly horrifying Nazi shit.
See? I'm telling you, this is not right, man. People are getting too comfortable with this. This is bullshit. And I know you got to go.
But the thing is, meanwhile, the Republicans say, it's not fair. They keep calling us Nazis. Well, what do you want us to call you?
Listen, did you really hit me with that? I don't want to hear that kind of statement from you. Because this is Mad Libs. Why do you keep calling Trump a criminal? Why do you keep calling my cousin a car thief? Well, apparently every 3 weeks he's stealing the car and he gets busted. Apparently.
Why do you keep calling my cousin a car thief? Because if a car ain't chained to the ground, Cletus is going to steal it.
It's that simple. Just like your brain. Real, not you, but, you know, come on. This is simple.
Okay, it's time. You haven't done the voice in a long time. Say, give Trump, leave Trump alone. Give Trump a chance.
Y'all ain't give that man a chance. I tell you what, y'all have been beating up on that man since day one. You ain't give him no chance. He done tried to make America great. He done brought drives to this country, and he's trying to protect these borders. And he got everything right. And then, you know, after that, well, you know who was in there? You know, black man was up in there. there to get things right.
Todd, I gotta
and
ask.
I got old seat.
Todd, I gotta ask.
What's
some Saturday afternoons when you're just bored, do you put on white face and go hang out on the porch down to the gas station and just talk with the boys and play checkers?
I ain't saying I'm no minstrel, but I tell you what. No, man.
Oh my
no.
God.
This is my new career, frankly. Well, I'm good at it. I'm getting older. I can do this.
Yes, you can.
You think I can do it? I know. My friends tell me, like, look, man, I ain't lying. So don't be surprised. But I just tell the truth.
If you started a podcast and just used that voice, it would be the biggest thing since Clayton Bigsby.
I don't see that motherfucker down there at the bar. He ain't shit. He couldn't shoot pool or for damn. I wouldn't spit on him. Hello?
You're way too good at that. You're just way too good at that. By the way, I got a message from Ken. When they live in your head, I got a message from Ken in Northwest PA. Subject line, turkey sandwich. Fuck
them. Northwest, what's the rugged? Wait, it's a rugged up there, Venango County. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Fuck the mayo, Miracle Whip, or Orange Whip from the Blues Brothers. Not this again. Not this. I'm Picarding right now. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference. Oh, no, not this again. Not the Miracle Whip debate, please.
I just can't.
Or that stuff that goes by the name sandwich spread, that's actually really just Thousand Island dressing thickened up a little bit.
God forbid
a bottle of Heinz mayo chup.
No, it's too easy. Like, all right, for instance, now. Some time ago, I went to the, oh my God, it's like 40 miles from here, but it's the best Asian supermarket in the area. They have everything. They have miso paste. They have this chili paste. It's so hot. It has a big label on it. And then when you go to check out, they ask you, like, do you understand how hot this is? I'm not kidding. They ask you, like, you know how hot this is. You can't bring this back. Okay. I'm not kidding.
I'm rolling the dice.
Now,
and you get it home, and it don't even tingle.
No, it's hot. It's too bad.
It's hot AF. Okay.
Yeah. And so you get your real mayonnaise. Your real mayonnaise, the man said. And
the man said
you mix that with that chili paste. You see, and that makes a wonderful dipping sauce. It's too easy to make your own dipping sauce. Don't be afraid of mayonnaise. It carries flavor.
If you get your French onion dip and you use two thirds sour cream and one third mayo, it'll be a thousand times creamier.
Fluffy, creamy. You know, you don't eat that kind of food all the time. You shouldn't be. You know what I mean? It's like make it right. And that powdered onion soup mix, man, keep that in the cap.
The canor is the best.
Oh, the canor.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody has access to consomme now. I ain't lying. And there's the polio. Oh, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. I mean, it's just like when you steam your vegetables, you put that in the water.
You know what's good? You take that better than bouillon lobster base. You use a little crab meat, like the claw meat, and shred it up real fine.
Yeah.
And do some cream cheese and sour cream and mayo. And work that lobster base in there and some Old Bay, and you've got a seafood dip for the ages.
My God, that sounds like there's not enough fish.
Oh, it's good. By the way, you got a note from Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Todd voice. It's the I tell you what that elevates it to art. It is. It provides that essence of authenticity. I tell you what, because you can just hear the suffering in it. I tell you, would never give that man a chance. God damn it! Yeah.
Oh, the suffering! Dan, go on. You added texture to that. The suffering. Get a little wordsmith, yeah.
Yeah, it's well. I mean, you can just the long suffering, sort of existential agony. You know, we could have been great again. We could have been great again. I tell you what, they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have it. Steve in New York, by the way, says, stop calling us Nazis. Then stop Nazi-ing. This ain't the calculus.
Do the math.
Show your work.
Right. Show your work. Oh, my God. That is it. See, that's about that last regime. Because these people believe he did what he said, but Biden actually did all that.
He built 5 million miles of border wall.
No, he bought it was like 40. I mean, it was pathetic. And then we find out it ain't even sturdy. And it doesn't work.
And you know what? I mean, you got an offer here, Todd. Arnold says Todd's almost as good as I am. That's really good. Podcast with Todd.
Man,
I agree with Todd completely. Oh, and by the way, going back to the transactional nature of those things, Arnold said, even the left is guilty. Every new book, Tom Hartman meets Rick all over again for the first time. Yeah, that's the same with me. Every time I've ever been at a radio, well, hi, Tom, how are you? Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. Yeah, that was 5 years ago. But, I mean, that's what it is. It's just purely transactional.
It's not real. And, you know, that's what keeps things fresh. You have to be real because when you're real, you know, it stimulates your neurons. And it makes you, you know, I think it enhances your cerebral processes. And you know, and when you have discourse with other people, even that you don't agree with. I love talking to people I don't agree with. I want to hear what they had to say.
Yeah, except on this program.
It's like,
They've got plenty of right wing forums to go and bark about Hunter Biden. Yeah.
Don't start with that. That's all they got. Because I'm like, I don't know what this left wing media thing is. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned that to you before, but I think I figured out where this shit is coming from.
Yeah.
See, in the civil rights movement, well, there, yeah, this came from the old heads that were alive during the civil rights movement, and when like people like Marlon Brando. He was one of the first. He went down to Mississippi during the civil rights movement. And that's when he started talking about the Hollywood liberals and elites. Cause this is before the riot. You know, they were like offended cause everything was white, white, white. They ain't had no black people in the commercials on TV. There really weren't too much, you know, you had Sidney Poitier, you know, the same old black people. And you know, it wasn't happening. They didn't like that. And that was the impetus of this Hollywood elite. I mean, it seems to me, from a historical perspective. Because before that, remember, Hollywood was a tool for the government, basically, even going way, you know, from the first motion pictures. I mean, look at Birth of a Nation. You know, Woodrow Wilson loved that. He showed it in the White House.
Yep.
And we all know what that's about. And that's just history. They ain't tired just talking. But, yeah. So, you know, we have work to do or not. I don't know what to say because I just don't know. These upcoming elections, all of them, your local election, your school board, your legislature, your senators, your representatives,
Everything matters, and everything is at hazard. And look, the reality is, and I was talking about this some last week, we need help, you know, because you're in a state that's not going to change. I'm in a state that's not going to change probably within my lifetime. You know, Gen Z is going to have to grow up, and they're growing up, and start and go to the polls religiously and start throwing these no good bastards out. You know, off topic, but I just found out something today. I've been talking a little bit about how The Republicans have put my beloved university up on blocks, and they're parting it out in E. Gordon Gee's front yard. West Virginia University is being taken apart. It's horrifying and heartbreaking. Well, they just hung 258 graduate students out to dry because they eliminated their graduate degree programs in the middle of everything. They eliminated.
Are you kidding me?
No, they
that's crazy. That's insane.
They don't have enough professors to have a meaningful computer.
On the Mon? Wait a minute. You're on the Mon?
Harvard on the Mon, yes. They don't have enough professors to
get my head around that.
They don't have enough professors to teach a degree in computer engineering. They have eliminated. They have eliminated the entire foreign language department with the exception of Spanish and Mandarin.
What about the HB1 people that India? Man, there's plenty of programmers.
Biometric engineering gone. I found out something today that kind of hurt my heart. They eliminated my English degree program because I got a degree in English with an emphasis on the creative writing.
Right.
And nope.
That's got to be paid. That's crazy. Oh my God.
Imagine an English department that doesn't have the budget to teach a course in Shakespeare every semester. An English department.
I'm sorry you brought that up. I really am.
They got rid of the jazz. In the music department, they got rid of the jazz composition major.
Okay, so we're back to the founders of how our Constitution is constructed and the rules, and why people could remember. It went back and forth for a very long time, and it's still not every person, every vote. And a lot of people think that, you know, on a federal level, I don't know why they, but you know, whatever. But hey, you voted for your. I mean, this went on for a very long time till probably 1868, you know, a long time. 1850, it went back and forth, and some states were contesting it. It wasn't really solidified with everybody, with every state, until later on, because there were still state rights. You would think it wouldn't be that way, but it's a seesaw. It's crazy. It's like the hidden, that's one hidden nugget of history. It's crazy. You know, this is a rocky road. We're a young country. We might not make it. But what I was going to say is that, with this, what you're saying, I'm thinking about Joe the Plumber now, and I'm thinking about the Tea Party, and I'm thinking about, we are actually burning books. We're banning and burning. I mean, I never thought I'd see this. And one of the books that they talked about on C-SPAN a couple of days ago, this is just so strange. And that's not the right word. It's either ironic or paradox or something like that. It's a little late for me. But Fahrenheit 451 is being banned. And that book talks about banning books. So how does that fit in? What's the right term for that?
Are we back to the F word? And I don't mean fuck.
No, I'm serious. I mean, seriously, is that because it's not.
Yes, it's fascism. It is. It's fascism. It's not. This isn't Final Jeopardy. I'll take what is fascism for everything I've got. Everything I've got today thus far.
Okay, so that's the nomenclature for the day for today. Fascism. Well. It's here. It's alive and well. And living in the suburbs.
Yeah, this isn't proto-fascism. This isn't creeping fascism. This is fascism right here, right now, on our front porch. They've got their flags. They march.
Yep.
They're violent, hateful. We have to mention our Venn diagram because we always talk about Venn diagrams. Their Venn diagrams of all their hatreds is just a circle. homophobia, xenophobia, misogyny, transphobia, racism. The Republican Party's just a fucking circle. And they their only organizing philosophy is who they hate. Plain and simple. Yeah, you know, this is just getting a shave with Occam's razor stuff.
Oh boy, don't start talking about him.
No, I can't, because we got to get out of here.
I know we have to go.
And by the way, Ken in Northwest PA said, "Oh, by the way, sorry, not sorry." And Ralph suggested some Penzi's spice blends for one's mayonnaise-based condiments. I know the truth of that because I've used Penzi's sandwich sprinkle on a turkey sandwich with mayo, and you can't go wrong at Penzi's. Penzi's is wonderful. Unpaid product placement. All product placements are unpaid. Thanks, Todd. It's been a great conversation, my friend.
You too, Robin.
I'm so glad you called.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
Now get out there and find that fucking jet, will you?
You know what?
Use your Jedi powers and raise it up out of the swamp.
That's crazy. Oh, my goodness.
You just channel your inner Mace Windu and, you know, whoop, up it comes.
What you don't know is that that's been going on. We've been having trouble around here because I'm not far from Shaw, and they have the big jets there. They go state to state in 2 seconds. They got the big boys over there. So, you know, that's what we're doing now. We're incompetent. And no funding. So.
Yeah, of course, Nancy Mace, she's one of those reasonable Republicans because she thinks that the government should only control most of women's bodies. She's from Charleston. She's from Charleston now, Todd. And she said, this is ridiculous. Where's the damn transponder? We got folks looking around their backyard for the jet. This is just ridiculous. Well, you know, some people tried to warn y'all about the F-35.
You know what? The women are going to save us, though. The abortion issue is going
to
save us.
I hope to hell you're right.
I think it will, because they're going to, you know, voting is a personal issue, you know, and when they poll people, you know, it's very self-reported data. You always have to look at how many people are they polling, you know, what was methodology, you know, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, people are figuring out, I mean, this looks bad. This whole GOP, there is no more GOP. It's just a bunch of, I don't know what to call them. They haven't, that's what I wanted to say. I know we have to go. Where is, this one question. What have they legislated? The House of Representatives, what have they done?
Well, I mean, they keep passing them bills to send to the Senate to make sure that a little trans girl can't run cross country. Well, they're all over that one.
Well, that's nothing. I mean, that's not serious.
No, but they think it'll keep the rubes motivated. I got one last story, and then we're going to quit.
Okay.
Because it's more in Monday, and we got Florida Man here. this is Edward Druzalowski. 78-year-old, cranky old silverback. And he got mad at Brian Ford. Brian Ford's 42. They live in De Leon Springs, or maybe De Leon if they say it not right. But it's 45 miles north of Orlando, so I feel like it's De Leon Springs.
Yeah. De Leon, that's a county.
Yeah, it was last night about 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Ford was trimming his trees along the fence line and had gone over onto Edward Druzalowski's property so he could reach his trees to get them out of Edward Druzalowski's yard. And Druzalowski came out and said, "What are you doing on my property?" Yeah, it'd probably be better in your voice. "What are you doing on my property? I tell you what, you can't have no goddamn property rights around here, no."
You get off of my property right now or I shoot you.
See, you would. You better get that.
And Brian Ford turned around and said, what? And so 78-year-old Edward Drew Zalowski blew away Brian Ford, 42 years old. In his interview with the Popo, Edward Drew Zalowski said, hey, I threatened to shoot him, and he didn't leave, so I shot him. Bad God, because I got me some Second Amendment rights here in Florida. I tell you what, it's the damnedest thing. You tell somebody to get off your property, and you shoot them, and they don't get off your property, and you shoot them, and the next thing you know, you're talking to the police.
George. All right. There's so much wrong with that. That was the Pepperidge Farm man that relocated to Florida so he could shoot people freely.
Freedom! Wolverines!
Yeah. What's the guy's name that shot Trayvon Martin? George something?
George Zimmerman.
Zimmerman. See, and I'm a tech, I know you got to go, but you see, folks, the South is a voting block. Listen. I don't want to say a fascist voting bloc.
You couldn't, for obvious reasons, but generally speaking, I mean, all the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Florida, you know, I worry about y'all.
Man, it's crazy. You better get in and get out.
And, you know, when the hillbilly girl is worrying about the people in Florida. Y'all got some worrisome shit going on down there.
Yeah, my people are taking their kids out of the schools because it's just too crazy. And back to Ted in the spot, how can he possibly say it's not a racist country? And people are being hunted down because they're black. How many white people do you see being hunted down because they're white? How many times have you seen that? It might be happening, but I hadn't seen it.
No, I ain't seen it.
I mean, it probably is happening, but...
Yeah, the only reason I was able to remember George Zimmerman was because I had to think for a minute. And what that one is. Good shooting, Zim.
Oh, yeah. And my point of that was... and this is serious. My point of that was that... You know, especially in the South... If you have a gun permit, you are a different class of citizen by default. That's why he got in a fight with that young man. He started losing, and he shot him. Instead of taking his licks, he could have taken some licks and got back in his truck. He wasn't no higher security. He's just doing that shit because he feels like one of these Proud Boy people. You know, and he called the police. He should have sat in his damn truck. And waiting for the police to come and say yes. That's what you do. You identify the person.
Just like this Drew Zalowski character could have just as easily taken his phone out of his pocket, probably got the big buttons on it because you know, and just hit that nine and that one and that one and hit the green button and wait for him and say, "There's a feller trimming his trees on my property, and I told him to get off my property. I'd shoot him. I can shoot him, Kena." Nah. We'll send a roller over, sir.
Gonna take me. That's too many numbers for me. All three number. That's about a week's worth of work right there. I can't be doing all that. Now I got my gun right there. That's about that. Okay.
Well, by the way, Reverbo with a message for you, and Reverbo doesn't just throw around the compliments. Todd, you're on it. Good call. Good insights. Signed, Reverbo.
Oh, that's nice. I appreciate that.
And Reverbo is among the Hall of Fame callers of this program, so when he knows a good call when he hears it.
I believe that.
Well, listen, you have a great evening. Get out there, find the jet, make a turkey sandwich.
I'm on it.
Leave the Miracle Whip in the fridge. Use the mayonnaise.
Oh God! I won't say anything. Oh, that sounds good to me.
Well, Havarti.
Oh God.
You know what's really good on a turkey sandwich is those sun-dried tomatoes. Those sun-dried tomatoes that are cut in strips and packed in oil. So they're tender. They're tender.
Sun-dried tomatoes. Yes.
Oh, they're so good. Because if you don't have, and the other thing, if you don't have a fresh tomato, you can use some of that tomato paste in a tube and just smear it on like you would with the mayo and whatever.
I was trying to be funny, but Robin, you are, we make the same kind of sandwiches because I keep those, what you're talking about, or we get them. And, yeah, just, and if you want to take the extra work, you know, you can slice them up so they're little tiny pieces. And when they go on the sandwich on top of the moisture and you put the meat on and cheese, oh, boy.
Oh, beautiful things happen. Beautiful things.
You know what? Then look, life can be good for a few minutes.
You know, there's the motto for this evening. It's probably how Lore was feeling in the theater. Life can be good for a few minutes. Get over here, honey. Is that a gun in your pants? Is that a gun in your pants, or are you happy to see me?
Oh, my God. I'm like that boy.
We gonna go back to your bar and We gonna go back to your bar and go to the drag show. I want to go to a drag show.
I couldn't believe it though when you played the tape. I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like when Harris started, I was like, yeah. The lady asked you. I mean, damn. That's all you can do. Somebody asked you. Maybe you know because people are willing to put up with a lot. But if somebody asked you to stop, stop. You shouldn't be doing it in the first place. In there, go in the car like everybody else. And do your pre-party.
Tailgating before Beetlejuice. Oh, my God. Todd, have a great night. Wait a minute.
She don't even understand how to party right. What the fuck is wrong with her? Damn.
She's partying about you quit that damn elitism. She's partying how she learned to party in Florida. And she's partying how she learned to party all her life. I mean, that's how she was partying when she got pregnant in high school and had to drop out. That's how she kept partying through her 20s, you know, when she was, like, allegedly being paid for sex by Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
What?
Yeah, she may have been his fuck golly.
You know, I'm so glad.
As a woman, just visualizing Ted Cruz a rutting and a humping. Oh, God! And they think Ben Shapiro's wife is dry.
Can't you see him saying something stupid?
God, I just performed a contraceptive act for every woman of childbearing age in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Just visualize Rafaelito Cruz, ladies.
Oh, God. Now, you talk about transactional. He is so funny. You can't talk about my wife like that. But they just did, and he didn't do shit. Sorry.
Yeah, you can't talk about my daddy killing JFK, neither. Oh, wait, you already did. You know what I'm going to do about that? I'll tell you what I'm going to do about that, because I'm a rough and ready Texan, and I'm rough and tumble and rough and tough, and I'm a rootin' tootin' Texan. I ain't going to do shit.
Because he's right.
Get out of here and go find that damn jet, Todd.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you. Bye. We got to end on some silliness. You know what I'm going to do? Nothing. Okay, that's the program. Hey, y'all, thanks for getting us down to $1,400. We'll be at $1,700 tomorrow. If we can just stay away from the dreaded 2,000 mark, I can get some bills paid, keep the internet on, that kind of thing. Thanks. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I'll see about those tiers, Randy. The TIERS. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you for answering Ralph's challenge. That goes to both Libby and David in South Carolina, Stan. Thank you, Jude. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little experiment and conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, wherever you listen to the podcast, like and subscribe, whether it's Podbean or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify or any of the myriad other podcasting platforms where you can get this program. Leave a comment, tell your friends and neighbors. Let's grow the conversation. Because where else are you going to tune in and hear a conversation like that? Hell, you can't even get that on Sirius with Howard Stern. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster time. Wear your mask, even if you're not around the maggots, but especially if you are. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Take it with you, pocket or purse. Use it frequently. Maintain your social distance, and for God's sakes, if that little hobbit in the bodycon dress comes towards you, and she's got her boyfriend with her, and says, "Hey, honey, let's go say Betelgeuse, if you know what I mean." Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse. Avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.